Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service free of charge, so sign up today and begin easing the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. For a list of potential carpool or vanpool partners from Ride Finders free ride matching service, log on to www.ridefinders.org or call toll-free 800-VIP-RIDE.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, a look at the infamous Chain of Roxbridge murders. Marlon Gray was convicted of killing two sisters after robbing and raping them before they were thrown off the Chain of Roxbridge in 1991. But the state never proved he was on the bridge or that he was even there when the murders took place. Still, he was portrayed as the ringleader. The only witnesses who connected Gray to any crime were one of the four robbers who got a deal with the state and Thomas Cummins, a cousin of the sisters, who was the original suspect in the case. The prosecuting attorney who handled the case had eight previous cases reversed due to misconduct. Cummins sued the St. Louis police, saying he was beaten into making a statement. He settled his suit for $150,000. Marlon Gray said the police also beat him and made him confess to raping the girls but not killing them. He filed a complaint but was not believed. Now Marlon Gray is facing execution October 26th. We'll talk to Marlon Gray live from death row on Tuesday morning, along with in-studio guests who bring you information you've never heard before. It all happens Tuesday morning here on The Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
City's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizenship. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free. Long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I guess it's just deja vu all over again. I guess it's just bad habits or are hard to break. I guess it's just no. I take all that back. I take that all of that back. I'm going back to my stash of movie memory. I'm going back into that mental Rolodex compartment under movie quotes. I love the movies. I love the movies. I'm going back to Blade. Not Blade 2, not Blade 3, because they were both sucky. The original Blade was the bomb. And there was a scene in the original Blade where the Wesley Snipes character is waiting for this cop vampire. Because the cop, Wesley Snipes, had the car with the blood that the cop vampire, or no, he was a worker for the vampires. But Wesley Snipes had the blood, or was watching the car where the blood that the guy had stolen was. And then the woman, and the reason I love Blade is because it was the first time in the history of cinema where you had an African woman superhero. She could fight. She was beautiful. She was a doctor. She was fearless. Never in the history of cinema. And it wasn't about sex. And it wasn't about jokes. It was about, I'm gonna take you out. And it's an empowering thing as an African woman to see that. It was the first time in the cinema's history, modern history, that a black woman, that an African woman played such a role. But he's sitting next to her. I digress. He's sitting next to her, Wesley Snipes is, and she says to Wesley Snipes, he would not be a big enough fool to come back and get that car. Come back and try to get that stuff. And Wesley Snipes turned to her and said, once you know the nature of a thing, then you know what it is capable of. Now, we had a little show yesterday, a two-hour show, on the nature of George W. Bush. Bush on the couch by Dr. Frank. We learned that George Bush is a sadist. Remember, he took a hot poker, a coat hanger. He heated the end of it till it was red hot. And he did this when he was 18, 19, 20, 21. And then took that coat hanger, red hot coat hanger, and stuck it between the buttocks of the fraternity guys that were trying to become part of the fraternity. That's what he did. It was so extreme that back in 1967 that the New York Times interviewed George Bush about this. And what was George Bush's response? It's no different than getting burned with a cigarette, huh? No different than getting burned with a cigarette? So you have a lot of familiarity of burning people with a cigarette. He said, and it doesn't leave a scar, just like a cigarette burn doesn't leave a scar. He was flippant. He was disconnected. George W. Bush, as a child, in a Jeffrey Dahmerish kind of a mindset, would insert firecrackers into frogs and watch them blow up. Now, baby, you do not have to have a degree in psychology. You do not have to have had anybody laying on the couch diagnosing them to know that that's some messed up stuff, and that it is quintessential stepping into sadism for children to be that kind of cruel to animals. I'm not talking about pulling the wings off of flies. That's creepy and nasty too. We're talking about inserting firecrackers into a live animal, lighting it, and then watching them explode and finding pleasure in that. That's messed up. That is messed up. So, we look at that. We look at the way that George W. Bush is, because we didn't get a chance to talk about the lawless component of George W. Bush. How he would make, he would create ID cards for kids in school, fake ID cards, as an industry. The breaking of the law with the DWI, the covering up of it. This is a person that is sadistic, has sadistic tendencies. In my book, if you have sadistic tendencies, congratulations, you are a sadist. There are some people that will be able to compartmentalize that and blow that off as Jeffrey Dahmer's parents did. That's just growing up boy stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not. But I think that, I know that, I believe that we must take a look at what this means as an individual. Raised by a cold, disconnected, non-nurturing, non-skilled mother, Barbara Bush, had an absent daddy in the home. For whatever reasons, we don't know. Has never been allowed to or encouraged to learn how to express himself or to manage his anxiety. We have a recovering alcoholic or a dry drunk in the White House. So, again, back to the once you know the nature of a thing, then you know what it is capable of. Let me bring it home for you. There's a person who has sadistical tendencies, is a sadist, is disconnected from human emotions, is ADD, dyslexic, mean, like his mama. Is he capable of feeling the crimes at Abu Ghraib? Does it seem inappropriate to a sadist, person that's exhibited sadist types of behavior, does it seem inappropriate for that person to find a attorney general that would defend sadism, advocate for it? When we have an outlaw type of a person, does it seem inappropriate? Does it seem... I'm trying to stay linear on this. This is an A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. This is a straight down the line. This is as straight as the coat hanger that George W. Bush heated and stuck between the buttocks of a want-to-be fraternity member. It's that kind of straight. It is logical that a person with that kind of a history would cheat to get into office and not feel the impact of cheating and not feel that he had cheated and felt that he was entitled to it. And once you know the nature of a thing, you know what it is capable of. Baghdad, elections, right? Turns out that there were unusually high vote totals in 12 Shiite and Kurdish provinces. 99% of the people voted. Do they think we're stupid? Yes. 99% of the voters voted. It is a rare thing to get 99% of a household to vote. But 99% of the voters voted. Whoo, and they all voted in favor of Iraq's new constitution. They're saying now that we're going to delay the results while we investigate a 99% voter turnout. You think? Thank you very much. Good looking out. I support you in that decision. 99% voter turnout. In Iraq, where you get shot at to go vote, where your car blows up on the highway on the way to the voting poll, where it is a dangerous and dirty thing to vote. They had a 99. This is not, we're not talking about Selma. We're not talking about black folks going to vote in their country. We're talking about people in Iraq, 99% of them turning out to vote. Oh, no. So, careful not to preempt the outcome of the referendum, Bush said yesterday that he welcomed the strong Sunni turnout at the polls. No, I think that he needs to be impressed about the Shiite and Kurdish folks voting. We live in amazing times. And can I just share something with you? I have a couple of minutes here. I have a couple of minutes here. There's something that I wanted to talk to you all about. I'm full of sayings this morning. If you know the nature of a thing, then you know what it is capable of. Be careful. My next saying, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, boys and girls, my next saying that I want to focus on is be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you demand. Be very clear about what you ask God for, because you may get it. You may get it. What's fascinating about this Valerie Plame thing, and I want to talk about it. I want to start with it with a conclusion before the break. Here's the trick. Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame, are considering suing George Bush and Dick Cheney once the special prosecutor Fitzgerald makes up his mind about all of the indictments. That's when they can begin a suit. Now, 6 years ago, and this would mean that George Bush would have to testify, Dick Cheney would have to testify all during their administration. They would be brought before a judge to testify. And unlike George W. Bush's last behavior, it would be under oath, and he wouldn't be able to take his baby, his brother, with him, Dick Cheney. George Bush, who thinks that 18-year-olds should be brave enough to go to Iraq and die, but he wasn't brave enough to go in a room, not under oath, to talk to folks at the 9/11 Commission. That aside, if Wilson and Valerie Plame sue George Bush and Dick Cheney, they would both have to testify under oath. And guess why that is? Because that law has been changed 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It wasn't so. Oh, it's because of a little thing called Bill Clinton and Paula. The law was changed so that a sitting president could be pursued like that. Be careful what you ask for, sweetie. Because it may come back to bite you where the sun don't shine. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We ain't done here. We ain't done here. Careful what you ask for. Wouldn't it be, get the popcorn, get the couch, don't do pretzels, no pretzels, popcorn. I can't wait to hunker around the television when that lawsuit goes down. I can't wait to read the transcript of George W. Bush under oath. Ooh, stay with me. I will be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Horton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Clayton Road at Big Bend, there's a structure fire. Clayton Road west of Big Bend. Crews are battling a second alarm fire, building fire. The eastbound lanes are closed. Big Bend is also closed in both directions at Clayton Road. Northbound 55 at 141 in Germania, no problems there. Eastbound 44 between Antire and 270, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way to Clayton Warson, look for no problems going on there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington Elizabeth, expect no problems this morning. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that ramp is closed due to construction, and you can use 11th Street. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 merge at the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is on the move. Westbound 64 before the 5570 split, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound Kingbridge from McLeod's Landing, everything is still rolling along fine. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp looks good. Route 30 at Route PP, there's a report of a disabled vehicle in a traffic lane, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes is in bankruptcy and closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today, high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with low and upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 80. Wednesday evening, things will change. Partly cloudy skies in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy. There's a chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm with a high only in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 58, both under mostly clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Has Steve Franklin been on your mind? Join him online at WGNU.net.
You're looking to get into real estate. Where do you go? What do you do? Call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Properties available from $50,000 to $200,000. Available with no money down. Take your choice of area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or St. Charles County. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get into the game. Make the first move. Call Lisa Krempaski, 629-7830. That's Lisa Krempaski, 314-629-7830. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, a look at the infamous Chain of Rocks Bridge murders. Marlon Gray was convicted of killing two sisters after robbing and raping them before they were thrown off the Chain of Rocks Bridge in 1991. But the state never proved he was on the bridge or that he was even there when the murders took place. Still, he was portrayed as the ringleader. The only witnesses who connected Gray to any crime were one of the four robbers who got a deal with the state and Thomas Cummins, a cousin of the sisters, who was the original suspect in the case. The prosecuting attorney who handled the case had eight previous cases reversed due to misconduct. Cummins sued the St. Louis police, saying he was beaten into making a statement. He settled his suit for $150,000. Marlon Gray said the police also beat him and made him confess to raping the girls but not killing them. He filed a complaint but was not believed. Now Marlon Gray is facing execution October 26th. We'll talk to Marlon Gray live from death row on Tuesday morning, along with in-studio guests who bring you information you've never heard before. It all happens Tuesday morning here on The Wake Up Call. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It's time. It's time. It's time. And don't forget that we are going to have an interview live from death row. Marlon Gray is going to be on our show for 2 hours this morning. I was looking at this case. I was looking at this case all day, all weekend, trying to not get really upset over this. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story about how wrong the death penalty is, about innocence, about racism, about lawlessness, about why people do not trust the criminal justice system. Next hour, Marlon Gray, live from death row, Chain of Rocks case. It'll make you cry. If you have any ability to see it all, I've had friends tell me I'm not listening to that show because it's just going to be too hard to listen to. But if you have an ounce of compassion in you, an ounce of intellect in you, this whole story will break your heart. Will break your heart. Marlon Gray, live from death row. His execution date is set for next week. We have much to talk about, folks. Much, much, much to talk about. News coming out of Washington. Dick Cheney may be involved in this Valerie Plame piece. I do not think it is unreasonable to suspect him, given the fact that, remember, it was Dick Cheney who brought us the secret energy meetings where the press couldn't come in, and the energy moguls sat down and carved out energy policy laws beneficial to him. He brought you secrecy. He shoved it in your face and said, now what? Now what? What you gonna do? Yeah, I've had 7 heart attacks. I can still take you. That's what he said. And he did. He won. He won. Then. Then. Now stuff is falling all apart around them. It looks like it may be a Dick Cheney thing. It's going to be astounding. Scooter Libby had the unmitigated, the atmosphere of lawlessness, the understanding of lawlessness, the activity of lawlessness within this administration. They bowled with it. They're like roaches that come out in the middle of the day, or middle of your dinner table. Crawl up in the middle of your dinner table and say, now what you going to do? That's how bold they are. Usually they stay under cover of darkness. Usually roaches scatter when you turn the lights on. These roaches look you in the face and say, what you going to do? What you going to do? That's what they do. Scooter Libby wrote a note to Miller. And in the note, he said, Scooter Libby said, and I just want you to be clear. His letter says, quote, the public report of every other reporter's testimony makes it clear that they did not discuss Ms. Plame's name or identity with me. Why are you telling me that? That's just a heads up that I'm supposed to do that. This is a roach who said, now what? Can you believe this? Scooter Libby wrote a note after all of the investigations that are going on. Everybody else made it clear that I didn't have nothing to do with this. You straight? You straight? Lord. Lord. I just love God. Okay, I love God. I just love the spirituality of this. The what goes around comes aroundness of this. The Wilsons have said that once the criminal questions are settled, he and his wife will file a civil lawsuit against Bush and Cheney and others seeking damages from the alleged harm done to Valerie Plame's career. And if they do so, the current state of the law makes it likely that the suit will be allowed to proceed, that Bush and Cheney will face questioning under oath while they're in office. And the reason for that, dun da da da, is a unanimous 1997 U.S. Supreme Court decision saying that Paula Jones' sexual harassment suit against then Bill Clinton could go forward immediately. And oh, by the by, all the conservatives said that was a good law at the time. How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Jerusalem. An attack on Sunday by Palestinian gunmen resulted in the death of 3 Israelis and the wounding of 5 others near Jewish settlements on the West Bank. This has caused Israel to suspend negotiations with the Palestinian Authority on several key issues. A militant group that has ties to the ruling Fatah party is claiming responsibility for the attacks. A spokesman for the Israeli Foreign Ministry says talks have been broken off with the Palestinian Authority over prisoner release issues as well as discussions on the Gaza-Egypt border. Several West Bank towns were sealed off, and no Palestinian-owned vehicles were allowed on the main north-south road. Israel says if the peace talks are to restart, the Palestinians must do much more to help do away with militant groups. And Dateline Kabul. The United States has begun construction of 9 new military installations in Afghanistan. Military analysts say the U.S. has embarked on a major commitment to maintain operations in Afghanistan and the entire region for at least 2 decades. The new bases are placed to encircle Iran and are also in close proximity to China, Russia, and India. The Bush administration is sending a clear message that America must be the only and supreme power on the planet. The construction fits a blueprint of small and flexible bases that make it easy to move supplies and men in a short time. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Congratulations. You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, a look at the infamous Chain of Roxbridge murders. Marlon Gray was convicted of killing two sisters after robbing and raping them before they were thrown off the Chain of Roxbridge in 1991. But the state never proved he was on the bridge or that he was even there when the murders took place. Still, he was portrayed as the ringleader. The only witnesses who connected Gray to any crime were one of the four robbers who got a deal with the state and Thomas Cummins, a cousin of the sisters, who was the original suspect in the case. The prosecuting attorney who handled the case had eight previous cases reversed due to misconduct. Cummins sued the St. Louis police, saying he was beaten into making a statement. He settled his suit for $150,000. Marlon Gray said the police also beat him and made him confess to raping the girls but not killing them. He filed a complaint but was not believed. Now Marlon Gray is facing execution October 26th. We'll talk to Marlon Gray live from death row on Tuesday morning, along with in-studio guests who bring you information you've never heard before. It all happens Tuesday morning here on The Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. And email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. My goodness, we have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I'm great, and you are greater. Listen, I'm telling you, yesterday was really, really just superb. I really enjoyed it.
You like Bush on the couch?
Boy, under the couch.
Mm.
Boy, that was so, so very good.
Mm.
Thank you so much for bringing that to us. I'm going to go get that book and put it in my library.
It is an amazing book. And it is the thing that I thought that was so telling and important from the doctor's perspective was that this is the person that's governing our country. And the fact that this type of analysis has never been done on a sitting president before, and the fact that it has now been done and reveals scary things. How can you have a dry drunk in the White House? Because if a dry drunk is a person that is always running from their anxiety because their anxiety is the thing that makes them drink. Can you be the president of the United States and not have anxiety?
No, you really couldn't. You really couldn't. But then the thing with the frog, my God, that's just so scary.
Firecracker in frogs and blowing them up is a scary, scary, deeply disturbing and also, it's one of those things that explains a lot. Now I understand Abu Ghraib. Now I understand the fact that he didn't feel the dead bodies floating in the water. Now I understand why he, when the daughter of James Byrd was crying about her father's death in front of him, he felt no pain.
No compassion.
And then the irony of a compassionate conservative, a person that puts a firecracker into a frog and blows it up, cannot spell compassion.
No. But thank you so much. I really enjoyed that.
My pleasure. I'm glad you liked it.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. I'd like to give thanks and praise to the mighty Father for creating Yahweh, Miss Brown. I called last week pleading, and each time that I come on this airway, I plead for help. I don't understand. If there is truth and compassion in your heart, what makes you think that I will play games, and why would people sit up and say, God bless you, God loves you, but yet they help not their own brother and sister who are calling for help, such as myself? What I say is true. I have no time to play games. My life has been extended through the grace of Father Yahweh. And to have me to bear witness to this day, and to stand and to pray, and to have those to come my way to hear me, to see me, to talk with me, to understand.
And once again, if you want to give your number out there, you're more than welcome, Carl. Go right ahead.
Give it on the air, you think?
Yes, if you want to.
I'd rather leave it off air.
Okay, then I'm going to leave it off air, and I'll put you on hold. Thank you, Carl. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Korean veteran.
Ms. Brown, you made a different person out of me, the old man in his senior years. You've given me the answer to a lot of things. One thing, I really like what you've been saying. When you know the nature of a thing, you'll know what his actions are. I think that was a great thing. And that one thing I love about is history. And when you know about history and what's been done, and you'll know what people will do. What goes around will come around. And you're a great individual put here by the higher elements and everything, and I'm so proud of you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Democrats, these should be glory days, should they not? These should be dancing in the aisles. A little bit of I told you so, a lot of bit of I told you so. We're going to take this mug over. It should be all kinds of things. But Democrats are hampered by the thing that defined them, the thing that they embrace, the thing that they have been scared of. They're hampered by their own mistake. Potential Democratic, this is a story out of the Associated Press. Potential Democratic presidential candidates who voted to give Bush the authority to use force in Iraq could face a political problem. They supported a war, party's rank and file now strongly view as a mistake. Their pro-war votes cast 3 years ago could haunt them as they seek early support amongst die-hard Democrats and gauge whether to launch formal candidates for the party's 2008 presidential nomination. For a lot of activists, this could be a threshold issue. They may be looking for someone without any taint for prior support of the war. Senators Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, John Edwards are mulling over a run for the Democratic nomination. All of them voted in 2002 for a resolution authorizing the president to use force in Iraq. They no doubt will be forced to explain their positions, both then and now. And doing so would open themselves to attack from candidates who didn't support the resolution or didn't have to cast the politically tricky vote. The only Democratic candidate in the Senate, Russell Feingold, he voted against the resolution. There's a woman that has written a book about Hillary Clinton. What's her name? Gloria Estridge? You know her. She was Dukakis's point person when he ran for the presidency. Hated O.J. Simpson. Has done a whole lot of stuff that I think is really pro-right wing. She's written a book about why Hillary would be such a good thing for America. I think I'm going to have her on. I think I'm going to have her on. Because I don't like her. And I certainly don't like a book like that. My name is Liz Brown. In the next hour, in the hour after that, We're going to be talking to Marlon Gray. We're going to be talking about the Chain of Rocks case. We're going to be talking about an innocent man on death row and how we got there. You don't want to miss the next 2 hours. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers. Talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. They're bracing for the worst in Taunton, Massachusetts, where a dam is in danger of bursting. Thousands have been evacuated, and the mayor has declared a state of emergency.
There will be no school in all schools in the city of Taunton. All government offices, courts, businesses in the downtown area will be closed.
Mayor Robert Nunes is ordering wider evacuations and sealing off parts of the downtown.
People will not be allowed in the downtown area. The National Guard has been called and deployed, and they are responding with personnel and equipment.
Officials fear if the dam breaks, it could unleash a wall of water up to 6 feet high. Dive teams are on standby, and a shelter has been set up at the local high school. Flooding is also a problem in Burbank, California, where fast-moving floodwaters race through some areas. Mudslides and standing water shut down Interstate 5 in both directions yesterday north of L.A. Tropical storm Wilma is intensifying, and forecasters say, thanks to ripe conditions, could become a hurricane by the end of the day.
Warm water is the main thing. That is what actually drives a storm to become and to intensify from a tropical storm into a hurricane. Plus the fact that it's been sitting nearly stationary or in the same general area for the last day or two.
National Hurricane Center forecaster Tricia Wallace says the storm could head for South Florida and possibly the Gulf Coast by Friday. GM workers this week agreed to sacrifice some of their health benefits to help keep their company stay afloat and ultimately to keep their own jobs. Statistics show they're not alone. 41% of growing companies have raised employee copays, 37% increased deductibles, and 20% have cut medical benefits, according to the Well-Being Interest Index, rather, compiled by Principal Financial Group. 87% say given the choice between a pay raise and increased health care coverage, they'd take the coverage. This is ABC News.
So you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
With just one out to go, Houston fans were so close to the World Series they could taste it. But their heroes were denied by a ninth-inning three-run homer by St. Louis Cardinals slugger Albert Pujols, leaving them
completely devastated.
Oh, man, I just wish we would have made it. We would have been history in the making, but we just couldn't get there.
We played our heart out, and we deserved it. We deserve to win.
But the series will go to a sixth game tomorrow night in St. Louis, to the delight of Cards fans.
Well, going back to St. Louis, you know, I just hope they got a good chance.
It was crazy. I mean, for us, it was crazy.
I thought it was outstanding, man. I mean,
I don't know if you can have an encore. That was unbelievable.
Two Bulgarian border guards were busted by technology and could face up to 10 years in prison for stealing a U.S. ambassador's cell phone. They swiped it after the ambassador left it in an X-ray machine and denied they'd seen it when the ambassador called to ask. But its built-in tracking device led authorities right to one of the guards' pockets. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Panther Friend Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, despite a recent ruling that will allow a Missouri inmate to have an abortion, state officials say the overall issue is not over. Jessica Robinson, a spokesperson for Governor Matt Blunt, says the state has 45 days to submit arguments to the federal court so a judge can rule on the validity of a state law that prevents taxpayer dollars from being spent to facilitate abortions.
This is a policy that Governor Blunt supports, one that he wholeheartedly believes is appropriate for our Department of Corrections to have a policy such as this. He's encouraged the Attorney General to aggressively defend the values that Missourians hold dear.
The High Court ruled yesterday that the State Department of Corrections must transport an incarcerated woman to another facility for an abortion. Robinson says the state will comply with the order, but Governor Blunt feels the ruling is highly offensive to traditional Missouri values and contrary to state law. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is closing the 600-foot auxiliary lock chamber at Locks 27. The closure will last until December 13th, and it's necessary to replace lift gate machinery and counterweights. In early January, similar work will take place on the 1,200-foot main lock chamber. The Corps of Engineers says winter may not be the most ideal time for this kind of work, but it's the best time for the navigation industry because it corresponds with the annual closure of the Upper River in Minnesota. Although both men and women can develop severe cases of lupus, men tend to have more severe symptoms. A 1997 Johns Hopkins study shows men with lupus have more seizures, anemia, and clotting problems related to their disease, and they tend to suffer more kidney damage and have more heart attacks than women with lupus. Sarah Walker, a professor of rheumatology at the University of Missouri-Columbia, says early diagnosis of the disease is essential for men and women to prevent complications, which in some cases can be life-threatening. Finally this hour, the Rams couldn't hold an early 17-point lead and fell to the Colts 45-28 last night in Indianapolis. Steven Jackson and Kevin Curtis scored first-quarter touchdowns to give the Rams the early lead, but the defense was unable to contain Edgar and James. The Colts star running back rushed for 143 yards and three touchdowns, while Peyton Manning threw for two more scores to help keep Indianapolis the NFL's only unbeaten team at 6-0. After Mark Bolger left the game early in the second quarter with a shoulder injury, Rams backup quarterback Jamie Martin came in and completed 17 of 21 passes for 134 yards and a touchdown, though he did throw two interceptions. Jackson ran for 88 yards on 17 carries, but the Rams were unable to avoid their third straight loss. They are 2-4 on the season and will return home to face the Saints on Sunday. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes at 79 is an accident. Right lane is blocked. Expect a backup all the way through Highway K. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge is an accident. Left lane is blocked. There's a brief slowdown. Westbound 270 between Illinois 3 and Canal Bridge is an accident reported to be on the shoulder. Expect heavy volume near 255. Northbound 270 at Big Bend. Look for all roadways reopened after an earlier stalled tractor trailer had been cleared to the shoulder. Traffic is back up most of the way to Highway 21. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and River de Pere. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 at the Chrysler Plant and Missouri River Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. You've got slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 between Mid River Small and Blanchett Bridge. Everything is on the move. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain all the way into Washington Elizabeth. Expect normal traffic this morning. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. That's closed due to the construction on the ramp. You can use 11th Street to get around. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 at 64 in the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything's on the move. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic. And Clayton Road west of Big Bend. Crews are wrapping up a building fire. Expect restrictions going on in that area. Northbound 141 between Big Bend. There's a vehicle fire and the left lane is getting by. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? It's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today with a high around 80. This evening mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday partly sunny with a high near 80. Wednesday evening things change a bit, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance for showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, a look at the infamous Chain of Roxbridge murders. Marlon Gray was convicted of killing two sisters after robbing and raping them before they were thrown off the Chain of Roxbridge in 1991. But the state never proved he was on the bridge or that he was even there when the murders took place. Still, he was portrayed as the ringleader. The only witnesses who connected Gray to any crime were one of the four robbers who got a deal with the state and Thomas Cummins, a cousin of the sisters, who was the original suspect in the case. The prosecuting attorney who handled the case had eight previous cases reversed due to misconduct. Cummins sued the St. Louis police, saying he was beaten into making a statement. He settled his suit for $150,000. Marlon Gray said the police also beat him and made him confess to raping the girls but not killing them. He filed a complaint but was not believed. Now Marlon Gray is facing execution October 26th. We'll talk to Marlon Gray live from death row on Tuesday morning, along with in-studio guests who bring you information you've never heard before. It all happens Tuesday morning here on The Wake-Up Call.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
And sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I have been doing this job for a number of years, a handful of years. And one of the things that I reflect upon, an issue that I reflect upon as I do my job every year, is the gift that I have been given. And sometimes I reflect upon the pleasure that I feel when I'm able to put information out there that people didn't know, when something that we do on the show empowers people, when something that we do on the show changes someone's life. I feel good about those things. However, on the flip side of that, I also, in the course of doing this show, often have to tell stories that are difficult, stories that hurt your heart, stories that reveal and seemingly, stories that don't solve. And because I was a special public defender for a number of years, I have a particular insight into the criminal justice system, unlike most people out here. You know, doctors have an insight into the world of medicine, the good, the bad, the ugly. Carpenters have an insight into the world of carpentry, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, as an attorney, and in particular a trial attorney, and in particular a former public defender, I have an insight into the criminal justice system, so that when I hear stories about cases within the criminal justice system, I look at them based upon my years of experience and what I know after having been there. And if you would just allow me a minute or two to share with you what I know, and as we prepare for the story that we're about to share with you, what I have learned as what I learned as a public defender is that the criminal justice system in the United States of America is rotten in a lot of ways. If I may, I'd like to go back to the moment that I decided that I was no longer going to be a part of that system, that I couldn't be a part of that system. I remember standing in an arraignment courtroom. That's the courtroom where they bring people in, and this is in the city of St. Louis. That's the courtroom that where they bring men and women in to be told what the charges on their cases are, what they're going to be charged with, to inform them, and then take them out, and then they get assigned their attorneys. And I remember standing in the arraignment court. It was a cloudy morning. And I'd had a long night before working on something. I remember standing not quite at the back, not quite at the front of the courtroom. You know, the courtroom is all wooden, and then the judge sits up on a little higher than everybody else in his chair. And the judge in their black robe was calling out people's names, and I watched as the bailiffs, mostly white bailiffs, kept bringing in black man after black man after black man. And I love black men. And to see all of these beautiful, and they were gorgeous, just gorgeous young black men in the prime of their life, being brought into this wicked, twisted, lawless system, young men. And I knew, because I had been there a while, and the laws were changing, making it more difficult and more difficult to defend folks. I knew what they were facing, and I knew what brought them there. I started to cry. I started to cry because of the waste of it, because of the selectivity of it, because of the absence of justice of it. And I couldn't take it anymore. I could not take it because I did not feel that I had all of the tools that I needed to fight. Because I fought hard. I kicked butt when I was in trial. I worked hard. But there was so much more that was fighting against justice. So when I think of the criminal justice system, I think of police officers that got on the stand and lied. Breaks your heart, and it happens. Prosecutors who stand up in front of you, God and everybody, and look you in the face and lie to get an innocent person in jail for the rest of their life so that they can have another conviction or possibly be the head of that office. A judge that sits there and knows the reputation of the prosecutor and listens to the lies and sides on the side of the lie. It is a twisted system fueled by century-old racism. If you have a group of people that you can blame everything on, and nobody, and you are rarely challenged on that, you will continue to do that. And what makes this system particularly foul and particularly difficult to deal with is the fact that we have a system that has the death penalty. You can lie somebody to death. It would be one thing if you just got locked up for the rest of your life and we could keep challenging. But we have a system that makes room for lies, encourages lies, embraces lies, and then sits somebody in a chair and electrocutes them to death. It's just wicked. And that is the challenge of the system and the society that we live in today. Now, I say all of that to say that the story that we're going to cover today is a very difficult one for me personally. And I don't mean a big deal. I'm just saying that it is tough to bring this story to you because it has everything that is wrong with the criminal justice system in it. This is a case that has every single thing that is wrong with the criminal, every element that makes the criminal justice system in the United States of America wrong. This case has it in it. And it's something that I've never even heard of before. There are things that I have never even seen done before that have been done in this case. This is the story. This is the case of Marlon Gray. in his 20s, was charged with the murder of Marlon Gray, is a man of African descent. He was charged with the murder of two young white women. That right there should tell you how things are going to, the possibilities of things going bad when we have that dynamic in the Midwest, in the state of Missouri, and in the city of St. Louis. I have with me joining me this morning. My studio is full, and we have Reverend Mark Williams, Marlon's brother. He was associate at St. Peter's AME Church. We have Crystal Stanky, is that correct? Board member for Alive Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, and a campaign member for Marlon Gray. And we have Edward Doss, the father of Marlon Gray, all in the studio. And we have, calling in from Death Row, Marlon Gray. Let me start with Marlon. Marlon, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. I want to thank you for doing this one.
Marlon, we've talked on the phone before, I wish I could do so much more. I wish I could do so much more. I want to introduce everybody, let everybody say hello to the audience. Reverend, good morning.
Good morning.
And Mr. Doss, good morning.
Good morning.
And Crystal, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to bring that a little bit closer to you there. Okay. Marlon, I want to start with you. This is a difficult thing for you, I imagine. When is the date of execution? When is that? When has that been set?
They have set the execution date for me for October 26th.
That's next week?
Yes, about 1 week from now.
Marlon, if we can start with the beginning of this case?
Yes, okay. Well, 1991, I and two other young African-American men, along with a white male, were arrested in connection with the infamous Chain of Rocks Bridge case. It is a case in which two women were alleged to have been attacked and pushed off the Chain of Rocks Bridge, along with their male cousin.
And Marlon, if I may interrupt for a moment, let's be clear. The two women are white, and that's an important fact, is it not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Race played a part in this from beginning to the end. I'm most assured of that. And I'd like to first begin, if I may, by clearing up some mistakes that the TV media has been making about this case. If anyone watched Channel 2 on Friday, it was reported that I was convicted of rape and murder, of the rape and murder of these two sisters, the Carey sisters. That is patently false. I was never convicted of rape. I was never convicted of murder. I was convicted of aiding or encouraging this act. And in aiding or encouraging, in order to prove aiding, one has to be physically involved with the act of murder. According to the state, I was not even on the bridge at the time. So that excludes the act of aiding. And with regard to this encouraging, that was a make-believe situation that the prosecutor used just for the purpose of conviction.
And if I can underscore some of that, it's the facts, and it makes a difference when we talk about facts. People use facts in a lot of different ways out here in the world, but in a case that goes to trial, in a case before a judge, the facts are very specific things that you cannot be convicted of. You should not be convicted of something if the facts are not there. So it matters if the facts are here or if they're not. According to the facts of the case, the state itself, the prosecution itself, conceded that you were not present at the time that the murders were committed.
Secondly, that no witnesses testified that you directed anybody to kill anybody, or that you even knew that a murder was going to take place. Instead, what the state did was they operated on this whole theory that is not founded in law, that you were a ringleader of some sort. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So talk.
This call originates from a correctional facility in Missouri and may be recorded or monitored. When you have an emotionally charged trial.
And wait a minute, for our audience, I need to let them know that because of the way that the law has been changed, that when a person calls from a prison facility, throughout that phone call, you will have this voice interrupt and let you know that you're getting a call from a prisoner. So, audience, you need to know that that's going to be happening periodically as we have this conversation with Marlon. So go ahead, Marlon.
Okay. When you have an emotionally charged case such as this, where the victims are, where the alleged victims are white, then something changes in the tenor of the courtroom. When you have a jury sitting there, they're a captive artist in audience in and of themselves, and they're sitting there. They come to rely on the word and the reputation of the prosecutor, because he doesn't say when he's standing up before them that I'm representing me. He says, I represent the state, and that carries power. He was able to sway my jury by using one man's name, Charles Manson. He knew he had no evidence on me. He knew there was nothing physically connecting me to this crime. He knew, in fact, as it was revealed later, as everything came to light, that the entire thing was made up. All the charges against myself and the co-defendant and my co-defendants were false. He knew this to be the case, but he wanted to be the district attorney for St. Louis, so he was willing to do anything he wanted to do,
and
anything he had to do to get this conviction. So he referred to me as Charles Manson.
And when we say that, because we've jumped ahead here, Marlon, we're now at the closing argument part of the trial. That's when the prosecutor has the opportunity to take a lawful prosecutor is supposed to take the evidence that's presented in trial and put that into a summation before the jury. Those are the last words that the jury hears. They hear from the defense attorney with their case and the prosecution with their closing. And in the closing of this, because the name Charles Manson had not been mentioned anywhere throughout the course of the trial, the first time that the name of Charles Manson occurred was when the prosecutor did his closing and wanted to make the jury make the connections for the jury, and the best that he could do, because he had no evidence that you were on the bridge, no witness put you on the bridge, no witness put you or said that you ordered anybody to do anything or that you knew what was going to go down, he had to make it make sense for the jury. And to make it make sense for the jury, he came up with the idea of Charles Manson. Charles Manson wasn't at the house when the people were murdered. Charles Manson was the one sitting behind and orchestrated and ordering everything. That's what he did in the closing argument. And we have to take a break, Marlon. What I'd like to do when we come back, let's go back. Let's go back to the facts of the case. Let's go back to the defendants in the case. Let's go back to the difference between how the white defendant was treated and how the African defendants were treated. Let's talk about the specifics of that so that people can understand why the prosecutor lied and misled as he did during the closing arguments. Can we do that, Marlon?
Absolutely. I'm prepared.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about Chain of Rocks murder. We're talking about Marlon Gray. We're talking to Marlon Gray from Death Row. This is just an amazing story. Did you know that this is a man that's on death row where no witness testified, no evidence put him in a place of killing either one of these women? This is America, folks. We need to talk about this. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Star Registry. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge. There's an accident. Left shoulder is jammed, and traffic is jammed all the way back to 111. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked, and traffic backs up all the way to Highway 94. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic, especially in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 270 between New Florissant and 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane as well. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit is closed due to construction. That exit ramp is. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Northbound 270 between Tucson Ferry and Marshall Road. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Lindbergh. Heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop-and-go. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to the 5570 split. It is slow. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 at 8th Street all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow. Clayton, west of Big Bend, crews are wrapping up a building fire. Expect restrictions going on there. Northbound 141 before Big Bend, there's a vehicle on fire and left lane is getting by. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift. International Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny skies with a high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 80. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy. In the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, mostly cloudy. There's a good chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm. The high should be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 58 and some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to Savas Center for the premiere of Budweiser Friday Night Fights in the Concert Club at Savas Center. Boxing fans won't want to miss this inaugural Budweiser Friday Night Fights in the Concert Club at Savas Center, October 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss David Diaz as he takes on Lamar Murphy for the IBA Lightweight Championship. And a St. Louis turf war heats up as the Northsiders undefeated Devin Alexander meets the Southsiders Kelly Wright. Also on the bill, St. Louis boxers Lamar Harris and Rodriguez Muhammad. And former IBF light heavyweight champ William Guthrie battles Danny Williams. Seats start at just $25. Tickets on sale now at the Savas Center box office. All Ticketmaster outlets. By phone at 314-241-1888 or online at Ticketmaster.com. Show your support for boxing in St. Louis. Friday, October 21st, the Concert Club at Savas Center.
Relax with an old friend. Janet Jimenez shares places and spaces with you at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm talking to Marlon Gray. Marlon Gray is on death row, charged and convicted of killing two sisters, Julie Carey, 20 years old, and Robin Carey, 19 years old. Marlon, welcome back.
Thank you.
Marlon, let's talk about all of the folks that were charged in this and the murder of Julie Carey and Robin Carey. Who are the folks that were charged, the men that were charged?
Okay. The men that were charged was myself, Marlon Gray, my co-defendants, Antonio Richardson, Reginald Clemens, and a young white man by the name of Daniel Winfrey. Of the four of us who were the suspects charged with this case, only Daniel Winfrey, the white young man who was with us that night, avoided the death penalty and was given a sentence of 30 years.
There was another white man on the bridge with you, though.
Yes, we ran in while we were there that night, which we never denied. We never denied meeting the young ladies or Thomas Cummins, their cousin, who was with them. Now, Cummins was the white male cousin of the two sisters, and he was a man who was the first suspect in this case. He claimed to the police that night that he was attacked by us and that he was forced to jump 90 feet into the water, the Mississippi River, into water that was cold enough to induce hypothermia. And he claimed to survive this after spending a half hour to an hour in the river.
Along with his cousins, allegedly. Mm-hmm.
However, it was quickly pointed out by police examinations that he suffered no ill effects from the cold weather or no injuries or bruises whatsoever.
Well, more importantly, let's just say that he was lucky and didn't bruise, and let's just say that he was lucky and is one of those people that doesn't suffer from the cold like the rest of us do. There are physical, scientific things that can be done to ascertain whether or not an individual has been submerged in the muddy Mississippi. They could have done a search of his hair to see if there was sediment in his hair. They could have done a search of a chemical analysis of his clothing to see if it contained. I mean, everybody has seen CSI. People know what scientists and forensic scientists are capable of and were capable of back then. We're not talking about DNA. We're talking about checking to see if there's mud in your hair from when you fell in the muddy Mississippi. So let me ask you this question. Did they find mud or sediment or any evidence? Or bump that. Was he wet? Was his hair wet from the Mississippi River when they found him?
According to the police reports that I have in my hand right this moment, the first police officers on the scene noted right away that the man, although his person was wet, his clothes and the lower torso of his body was indeed wet and muddy, that his face was clean, and that his hair was combed and appeared and was dry and neatly combed.
And he had just been, how long had he been submerged in the Mississippi?
There's varying reports. It depends on which statement you go with. He changed his statement like 7 or 8 times during the police interviews.
But in all of the statements that he gave to the police, he was submerged for some period of time.
Right, at least a half hour to an hour, at least a half hour.
And again, forgive me if I repeat myself, but I want folks to really feel this. His statement to the police was that you all pushed him off the bridge.
Correct.
And that he went the same way that his two cousins, Julie and Robin, did, right?
Right.
Well, and again, I'm not a cop, but it seems that that would be a bit suspicious that a person said that they were in the Mississippi and didn't take part in a murder, and it turns out that their hair was combed, their hair was dry, their face was dry, no evidence that they had been submerged in the Mississippi. That should have been suspicious to the police, should it not?
Yes, and indeed it was suspicious to them initially. Thomas Cummins was asked if he would consent to a blood and hair samples taken in order to compare with physical evidence recovered at the scene, and he complied. Chief Criminal
This call originates from a correctional facility in Missouri and may be recorded or monitored.
Chief Criminalist Harold Messler and Margaret Owens did the examination of Thomas Cummins, and while combing his hair and inspecting his hair and doing forensics on his hair, it was noted that his hair was clean. Further, their examination did not remove any river silt or dirt, although the rest of his person was dirty from the water.
Mm.
At that point, he was asked to retake a polygraph test, which he failed.
Now, my question to you, Marlon, before we go to another break is, was Cummins ever charged?
Thomas Cummins was never charged. His case, the police submitted a case, an airtight case in their mind, to the prosecutor, Nels Moss, who then sat on it and took it under advisement.
The prosecutor took it under advisement that a witness has clearly lied at the scene of a murder of two women?
Yes.
He took that under advisement? Did they ever take your case under advisement?
Not for one moment.
Not for one moment. Let me get to one quick caller here. There's a person calling in on a car phone. Is that right, Howard? Megan, welcome to the wake up call.
Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm outstanding, Megan.
I'm a friend of Marlon's.
And tell us why you're calling today.
Well, I talked to him last night, and he told me that he was going to be on the radio this morning. And I'm on my way home from practice, so I turned it on. And I just thought I'd call in and give him my support and just let him know that we all love him and we're hoping for the best and we're working hard.
And Megan, why do you support Marlon in this? What is it about this case that draws you to it?
Well, I'm against the death penalty in all causes and all cases, and Marlon's particularly appealed to us because when we started researching it further, we realized that he wasn't there when it happened and that Missouri might execute another innocent man. And that made us all really nervous. So now we're just working to get him off the row.
Well, Megan, I want to thank you for calling in this morning.
Sure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're talking to Marlon Gray. He's on death row. This is about the Chain of Rocks murder case. This is about prosecutorial misconduct. This is about lies. This is about race. This is about racism. This is about a criminal justice system that is anything but just. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. Stay with us. Our number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution@lizbrown.com. Stay with us.
Nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's...
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington.
Another Republican member of the House is under scrutiny because of his ties to super lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Abramoff has been arrested in Florida on charges of fraud in connection with the purchase of a Florida casino boat company. Representative Robert Ney of Ohio wrote comments in the Congressional Record that supported Abramoff's purchase in 2000 of the company called Sun Cruise Casinos. Then in 2002, Ney sponsored legislation that allowed a casino to reopen that was run by a Texas Indian tribe, which was represented by Abramoff. Ney also helped get a license for an Israeli company to install communications antennas on Capitol Hill. That company wound up giving Abramoff almost $300,000 for his lobbying efforts, and the company also donated another $50,000 to a charity that Abramoff uses to secretly pay for his lobbying activities. The congressman took a number of favors from Abramoff that included campaign contributions, dinners at pricey restaurants, and even a golf trip to Scotland in August of 2002. Ney is now being investigated for his role in helping Abramoff acquire that Florida casino. Ney says whatever he did was not designed to benefit Abramoff specifically. Ney claims he was misled by Abramoff and his associates. Ney is chairman of the administration committee of the House, and that committee is in charge of budgets, equipment, offices, and parking spaces for all House members. These are all privileges that Republican leaders use to keep their party members in check. He got that chairmanship because he got next to former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who recently gave up his position because of being indicted on charges that he conspired to violate Texas campaign laws. This is your wake-up call global news update.
The St. Louis County Department of Parks and Recreation will host Fall Family Hayrides at Queenie Park, 1721 Mason Road, on October 21st and 22nd. Rides will depart on the hour between 7 and 9 p.m. Cost is $10 per person. Participants will enjoy a one-hour hayride through the park, followed by a bonfire, refreshments, and live music. Advance registration is required. For info or reservations, call 636-391-0922. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
If you like to get things done in one easy step, Regional Exposure 2005 is the place to be on Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square. Just one stop to see exhibits that represent hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services from around the region. Whether you're looking for new siding at the Anchor Siding Display or that unique craft item, product, or service you didn't even know you wanted or needed, you'll find it at Regional Exposure 2005. Plus, lively entertainment and dozens of prizes to be given away all weekend. Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square. Sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. More details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is
originates Liz, from a correctional.
This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We are talking this morning to Marlon Gray. Marlon Gray is on death row. He was charged and he was convicted of killing Julie Carey and Robin Carey. This is the Chain of Rocks murder case. We're here today to talk about the issues that you're not going to hear talked about any other place. The real specifics, the real facts, the real evidence that was presented in this case, and the people that brought the evidence and brought the facts. And we're here to talk about the specifics of that. I'm joined also in the studio by Reverend Mark Williams, Marlon's brother. He's at St. Peter's AME Church. Crystal Stanky, board member for Alive Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, and a campaign member for Marlon Gray, and Edward Doss, the father of Marlon Gray. Marlon, welcome back. Talk to us some more about, I am very interested to know about what happened to Cummings. There were two white guys on the bridge with all of you that night. The one white guy was never charged with, never faced the death penalty. In fact, has he completed his sentence?
Yes.
Is he out?
Oh, you mean Daniel Winfrey?
Yes.
We don't know his disposition at the time.
Okay.
Because of more maneuverings from the prosecutor.
Crystal, you wanted to jump in on this?
Yes, exactly. He is incarcerated because of another
crime.
I don't know, another crime, another murder maybe. I don't know, but he will maybe get out next year.
But he has finished the sentence as it pertains to the Chain of Rocks case.
As it came to our, yeah.
Okay.
Our information.
All right. So the one white male that was on the bridge with you that night, he's finished his sentence with this.
Yes.
The other white male, Cummins, the prosecutor, Nels Moss, after getting evidence, despite Cummins' statements and statement that he was in the water with the sisters, there was no mud in his hair, there was no water on his face, there was no evidence that he was where he said he was. Moss sat on the case. Then what happened to Cummins?
Well, I'd like to point out that prior to Moss, the case being turned over to Prosecutor Nels Moss, Thomas Cummins made a statement to the police which totally vindicated and cleared me and my co-defendants. He stated that he had went on the bridge to be alone with Julie and that he was upset that she had brought her sister along because he wanted to be alone with her on their final night together. He also stated that she was sitting on the railing of the bridge, the Chain of Rocks Bridge, and he went over to hug her, and that in his mind it was not sexual, but she became startled and fell over, and actually fell into the river, and that her sister jumped in to save her. You know, this is not us making this up. This is not the last dying gasp of a man about to be executed. This is what I'm actually reading from the police report. A police report that was signed by members of the police department, a Richard Trevor, Detective Chris Pappas, Detective Azons, Detective Elliers, and it was signed by Captain Robert Bauman. This is not us saying these things. This is us repeating what the police had already known. Thomas Cummins said that it was an accident in one of his versions, and then at that point, according to the police report, he broke down and cried and said, "That's the real truth. Please believe me."
And what else happened to Cummins?
Okay.
There's additional. I mean, the Cummins is the key to this, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's the absolute key to this. The case begins with him.
Well, Liz, if I may.
Sure. Go right ahead, Reverend Williams.
Well, I know what you're asking about. You're asking about the fact that Thomas Cummins later on said that the police beat this confession out of him.
Mm-hmm.
That they made all of this up. They forced him to say this by beating him up. And then later...
Well, which was the this that they forced him to say?
Well, of the, I guess, the 100, the 7 different changes that he made in his statement. So
okay.
I guess the part they made him say that he had a special relationship with his cousin.
Okay.
I guess they made him say, after they told him he could not have gone off the bridge as he said, made him change his statement to say, well, no, I ran off the end of it and I got into the water. I guess this is what
the made me said part
right.
was.
And so he said that they beat that out of him. Then later the city pays him $150,000.
Because why? He sued them. He sued them for his civil rights violations, as I understand it. So I just want the audience to feel this. We have a white guy
In
the city of St. Louis, who maintains that the police beat him. Beat a confession out of him and violated his civil rights. And they said, yeah, we did.
Not only that.
And they paid him $150,000.
Not only that. And we have a black male, several black males, who have said the same exact thing.
And we're going to have to hold that thought. I want to get to one or two calls here before we go, because that's a fascinating part of this case, of the statements that were made by people accused in the same case of the same thing, and their stories were ignored. Let me get to a caller or two here. Ed, you have a quick comment, please. Ed, you're on the air. Ed. Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, Liz?
Yes.
How you doing? My name is Tony Elliott. I was just calling to let Marlon know I love him. I heard him on the radio Sunday, and I have to hurry up and go because I got a meeting to be here to work. But, brother, I love you. I've been calling the governor's office, and every time I get an answer machine saying the mailbox is full, I don't know if that's intentional, but I got a program on my phone. I'm going to keep calling. I'm also going to contact the local media, which I haven't done yet, to try to help this brother. I mean, it's just it don't surprise me, but I wish I could come up there to see him, to give him a hug, kiss him, tell him I love him. It's just, you know, I'm just trying to do my little part. And do you know, for the strangest reason, I talked to a guy. So I had an extensive conversation yesterday, and I guess everybody have their rights to their opinion, but I was trying to explain the story as I knew, because I just found out about, I knew about the story, but I didn't know the fact that this man was fighting for his innocence. And this particular person I was talking to gave me every single reason why this man probably was just trying to convince the public, you know, that he didn't do it, and people do anything, you know, when they take the opposition of a situation that he's in. But man, this man sounds intelligent. He sounds every bit as credible as I have ever heard.
And I gotta let that be the last word. Thank you, Tony. Listen, folks, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back with Marlon Gray, Reverend Mark Williams, Crystal Steinke, and also the father of Marlon Gray, Edward Doss. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Threatening to unleash a torrent of floodwater 6 feet high through downtown.
At about 2 a.m., the dam at Winton Mills changed. There is additional deterioration to the dam. As I speak, the dam is deteriorating.
Mayor Robert Nunes has declared a state of emergency and closed schools and government offices. Stormy weather is also haunting the other coast. Southern California is enduring heavy rain and mudslides that closed major roads.
This is a pretty bad, really bad rainstorm, though, too. Driving on the freeway trying to get here, it was horrible. So I can understand why we had some mudslides out here.
Also causing concern, Tropical Storm Wilma, which is gathering strength in the northwestern Caribbean.
Wilma has intensified. It is a very strong tropical storm. It only has 5 miles an hour more to go to become a hurricane. So we are expecting it to become a hurricane later today.
National Hurricane Center meteorologist Tricia Wallace says its top winds are 70 miles an hour, and it could hit South Florida or the Gulf by Friday, possibly with hurricane strength. Harriet Myers is turning in an important paper today. ABC's Ann Compton tells us she's handing over hard copy on Capitol Hill that could tip her hand on where she stands on key issues.
Harriet Myers, in her own words, begins to tell Congress where she stands on the issues. Her written questionnaire is released to the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. She got off to an awkward start with Committee Chairman Arlen Specter, who had to issue a clarification that he misunderstood Myers' stand on a landmark case during their private talks yesterday.
More damage from the hurricanes, surging energy prices after Katrina and Rita triggered a 1.9% jump in wholesale inflation, the biggest jump in 15 years. And Buster, the British police dog, has been busted to a civilian because of his reluctance to take a bite out of crime. He's been sent into early retirement as a pet because he was too kind to criminals. This is ABC News.
I've trekked through the Nicaraguan jungle. I've scaled the biggest active volcano in Central America. I've waded through alligator-infested waters. I've even outrun armed rebels. My name is Adia Depisan, and I've done all this in a wheelchair.
Let's all discover inner strength. Tuesday night, start at 8 with Firehouse USA, followed by Dirty Jobs at 9 and SOS Coast Guard Rescue at 10. An all-new Tuesday starts at 8 on the Discovery Channel.
Welcome back to Inside D.C. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
His criminal trial ended in acquittal, but Robert Blake's civil trial continues. ABC's Gil Gross has an update.
Though it didn't stop Blake from being acquitted in the criminal trial for his wife's murder, there was always a problem with his alibi. Blake claimed that when Bonnie Lee Bakley was shot, he had gone back to the restaurant where they ate to get a gun he had left there, but no one saw him get a gun or even go near the table where he and his wife had eaten. Now Blake says he thinks he was seen by three busboys who may have refused to come forward because they spoke Spanish and might be undocumented workers. When a lawyer said, "You mean they spoke Spanish, so you think they are illegal aliens?" Blake yelled back, "I said undocumented. I reject the use of illegal in this country." Bakley's four daughters are suing Blake for the wrongful death of their mother. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
It's a strange mixture of beer and religion at a D.C. bar where Cardinal Theodore McCarrick will host another chat. The Theology on Tap series is not new. McCarrick has been speaking in local bars since 2001 as part of an outreach program to young adults. I'm Karen Chase. ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an 8-year-old boy killed last week will be laid to rest today. The funeral for Craig Collins Jr. begins at 10 a.m. at St. Teresa of Avila Church. Craig was shot outside a home in the 8200 block of Church Street. No arrests have been made. More than 200 motorcyclists held a prayer service in Craig's honor over the weekend, and many are expected to ride in today's funeral procession. Someone in Missouri could be very wealthy after tomorrow night's Powerball drawing. Gary Gonder, a spokesperson for the Missouri Lottery, says that's because Wednesday night's drawing is the highest in Powerball history at $340 million. In addition to the big prize, there is a match 5 bonus prize that pays those who match all 5 white ball numbers for the money made above the $340 million mark. Gonder says if you win the big prize, you should get some financial advice before claiming the money. Powerball is played in 27 states, as well as Washington, D.C. and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Once again, the Humane Society of Missouri is suspending the adoptions of all black cats until next month. That's because some people may want the animals for cruel Halloween-related purposes. Additionally, Linda Campbell, a spokesperson for the Humane Society, says people who have black cats should keep them inside.
We just are doing it strictly for the protection of the animals. Ideally, however, we believe that all cats should be kept inside, regardless of what time of the year it is and regardless of whether they're black cats or not, for their own protection.
Campbell says the Humane Society will lift the adoption suspension on black cats about a week after Halloween. She says the goal is to keep the animals safe during a dangerous time of year. Finally this hour, Rams quarterback Mark Bolger will have an MRI today to determine the extent of the damage on his injured right shoulder. He was hurt early in the second quarter of last night's loss to the Colts after throwing an interception to Cato June. Bolger was blocked on the run back by David Thornton and hit the ground hard. The Rams signal caller finished the game 6 of 8 for 121 yards, including a 57-yard touchdown pass to Kevin Curtis. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Prevention Magazine's premium vitamins and supplements. Eastbound 44 at Jefferson, there's an accident reported. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge, it is stop and go. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way to New Florissant, expect normal traffic this morning. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79. You've got heavy volume coming in out of St. Charles County. Westbound 270 from 255 to the Canal Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier stall, and police are still with that accident going on there. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Hanley. Look for heavy volume in pockets. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge is returned back to normal after an earlier accident. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44. It is stop and go. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for everything to be on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for normal traffic this morning. Northbound 3rd Street, or northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Prevention Magazine's premium vitamins and supplements. Prevention, America's most trusted health magazine, is proud to introduce Prevention Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Help achieve optimum health with Prevention, available at GMC and other fine pharmacies. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny skies, high around 80 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly sunny skies with a high around 80. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm. The high will only be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly clear skies, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I stand? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I stand?
It is time for us to use our power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how comes this now?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Email is revolution@lizbrown.com. We're talking this morning about the death penalty. We're talking with Marlon Gray. He's on the line from Death Row. And we're talking about the Chain of Rocks murders, the deaths of Julie Carey, Robin Carey, and the men that have been accused of this murder. And I want to keep doing this, and I neglected to do it last hour, so I want to make sure that we get this information out there. There is something that you can do as you're listening to the story of an innocent man on death row. You can call Matt Blunt to commute the sentence. You can call at 573-751-3222. That's 573-751-3222. You can fax at 573-751-1495. That's 573 573- 751-1495. Or you can call toll-free from St. Louis at 340-6900. That's 340-6900. The execution is set for October 26th at 12:01 a.m. Please call. This is something that you can do. This is something that you can have an impact on. This is something that's just right, that where we are supposed to do. We are supposed to speak in the face of wrong. We are supposed to challenge what is wrong. We are supposed to get involved in. The governor made very clear that he wanted to get involved with a woman who he has never met wanting to have an abortion so that she didn't have to have her baby in jail. The governor was very quick to get involved in that. We must make him move with the same quickness to get involved with a death, with another innocent death. So please call him at 573-751-3222 or 340-6900. If you're calling from Kansas City, that's 889-3186. 889-3186. This is Liz Brown. We're talking to Marlon Gray, and we're talking about the Chain of Rocks case. Marlon, I want to talk a little bit also, and let me let everybody know also who's in the studio with me. I have in the studio with me Reverend Mark Williams. That's Marlon's brother. He's at St. Peter's AME Church. Crystal Stanky, a board member for the Alive Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty and campaign member for Marlon Gray. And Edward Doss, he is the father of Marlon Gray. And Marlon, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let me get some of our guests here in the studio to jump in on this, because as we were talking off air, Reverend, this is an unbelievable story, isn't it?
Absolutely. Liz, one of the things that I have to say is that you mentioned earlier that CSI and all of these things that we look at today see this. When this case happened, I was in Saudi Arabia serving in the Gulf War, so I had to come back and get the information like CSI would have to.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first place I start with is the news article from the day after this event happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they have Thomas Cummings, who is the cousin of Julian Carey, and he's charged for this. Then when it changes around that it's my brother, I start looking into the facts. I looked at the police report. I looked at the condition. The most astonishing thing to me was when I went to the bridge itself,
mm-hmm.
And when you see that he has got to come off, get off the bridge, go all the way around the water treatment plant, then he's got to climb back up the banks of the muddy Mississippi.
And we're talking about Cummins.
Thomas Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
Come all the way back up the banks of the muddy Mississippi. And all the police report says is that he has a scratch on his face.
No mud in his hair.
Then when you see the cameras from whoever, the news media.
This call originates from a correctional facility in Missouri and may be recorded.
His hair is dry and perfect. They did a story on A&E and they kept showing that same sign over, that same person in the van, Thomas Cummins, in the police ambulance. And every time I looked at it, his hair is perfect. I said, well, if he can sell how he keeps his hair perfect like that after being immersed in the water for 30 minutes to an hour and come up completely dry, his hair completely dry, he's got a product.
Well, no, let us not even go in that direction. A police officer who was allowed to keep their job after missing this kind of evidence and not responding to this kind of evidence, a police department that would keep a police officer that would walk away from a lie like that is a police department that can never be trusted for anything else.
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
He became a sergeant, actually.
He became a sergeant. After,
yeah, exactly.
So he got promoted after this case.
Exactly.
He got promoted after this case. And let's go back again to what Cummins' first story was, because we were talking about this off of the air about the real story here.
Right. The part of his confession is that he has feelings for his cousin.
He has inappropriate, incestuous sexual feelings for his cousin.
Absolutely. And he's trying to get us to understand that why would the police just beat this confession out of him, go to that extreme of just thinking out of the blue, here's somebody who has an incestuous relationship or even ideas for his cousin. Well, that's not the normal place that we go.
And let's back up just for a second. Cummings, the white cousin of these two young white women, Julie Carey and Robin Carey, said to the police that I was trying to get to my cousin. I was trying to express my feelings for her. I hugged her. She thought it was something else. She fell off the bridge. Her sister jumped in after. That's the way it happened. Now, he then said that the police beat that story out of him. And what the point that you're making is that why would they beat that kind of a story out of him? How could they have beaten that kind of a story out of him?
And to go further than that,
because they didn't even use that story.
The other thing is that he didn't make this confession about that he was beaten until after Marlon, who had been saying he had been beaten all this time,
mm-hmm.
Had said it. Then his story, Marlon's story, and the other victims, supposedly perpetrators, have the same story, that they're beaten, a confession is beaten out of them.
Okay.
So Marlon gets paid. I mean, Marlon doesn't get paid $150,000, but Thomas Cummings gets paid $150,000.
And Marlon, let's talk about this, because there are some people who are listening who may say, well, Marlon and Cummings got their stuff. Marlon said that he was beaten after he heard that Cummings was beaten, after he heard that Cummings was going to get paid, after he heard that the police admitted to beating Cummings. That's when Marlon said that he was beaten. But it didn't happen like that, did it?
No, it didn't happen that way at all, and I think I could succinctly put it into perspective. The moment I was away from police custody and remanded to the jail, I talked about my beating. The moment that Reginald Clemens, my co-defendant, was removed from police custody where they couldn't get their hands on him, he talked about being beat. We were kept separate, and we gave statements to the internal affairs. In my statement, right then, that week, I said that two specific police officers beat me.
You didn't know their names, but you described them physically.
I described them physically. I described what they said to me. For one instance, the thing that stuck out clearly was, in all three cases, this statement was made by the same police officer that when we asked for our lawyers, he said, this is not TV. What do you think this is, TV? I made that statement. And I talked about how they beat me on the top of my head with these books. They were not phone books. They were log books that they keep their own journals or logs in.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second, Marlon. All three of you had no contact with one another.
None whatsoever.
You didn't know what the white guy Cummings, you and the other co-defendant was, which... Clemens?
Yes.
Clemens, all three of you had no contact with each other, and you all described being hit on the head with these books?
Right.
You all described the same dark, Hispanic-looking cop with the mustache?
Right.
And you all talked about the same, they all asked for a lawyer, and you were all told exactly the same thing. All three of you told those stories.
Absolutely. It was an amazing thing. But the thing that set Reginald Clemens and myself apart from Thomas Cummings was, we came forth right away.
Mm.
Thomas Cummings never told anybody publicly that he had been beaten until 18 months later. He waited 18 months to make this allegation. By then, the stories that the allegations that Reginald Clemens and myself made were already on record. We had made them with the Internal Affairs. We made them with the FBI. Thomas Cummings, we find out later, goes to Nels Moss, the prosecutor, and tells him, you know, the police treated me badly. This is what they did to me. And he explains it to him. Nels Moss tells him to be quiet, don't say a word until after we're convicted, and that he'll see to it and he'll speak for him and they'll make sure that the police are held accountable.
And let me get to this call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Liz, at the time of this incident occurred, I was a correctional officer at the city jail. And Warren is absolutely right. They were kept separate. They never came in contact with each other. And I really don't believe they're guilty. I think they're innocent. And Thomas, I remember when he turned state against them. And they removed him from the jail.
They removed Cummings from the jail?
Mm-hmm.
They took him out of the jail?
Yes, they did. Moved him in hiding.
And Marlon, what's the name of the cop? I've forgotten the cop. It's not Pappas. It's the, who was the...
Trevor.
Trevor?
Trevor and Pappas were the two.
Okay, and Pappas was the one that was hitting you, right?
Right.
I remember Pappas was a stinky, stinky, stinky cop when I was a public defender. Everybody knew that if you had Pappas on your case, that somebody had been beaten into, somebody had been coerced into something. He had a reputation for being a stinky, stinky, dirty cop.
Well, Marlene, you're in my prayers, and I know you're innocent, and if I would tell you my name, you would remember me. But they were all kept separate. They never had no contact at all with each other.
So then how were their stories the same? That's the question, isn't it?
That's right.
That's right. How were their stories exactly the same if they didn't have any contact with
each
other?
No contact whatsoever. Not even to attend church service together.
Mm. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank
have
you.
A good day.
Take care of yourself. And we were talking off the air, Marlon, about how this case has happened and what makes sense in this. It doesn't make sense that the police department in the city of St. Louis would agree to pay somebody $150,000.
This call originates.
If the person is saying that the police made me say that I wanted my cousin sexually and she fell off the bridge accidentally, they beat that out of me. That doesn't make any kind of sense that the police would have paid $150,000 to admit to abusing somebody to get that story out of them. What makes sense is that he was beaten. And he was beaten to tell the story to convict everybody else in this case. That's what makes sense, isn't it, Marlon?
That's what absolutely makes sense.
And that, Reverend, that's what makes sense to you, right?
I would say that makes sense to me that, first of all, to have an incestual relationship isn't something that we go to immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got the other cause on the other side, that's, I would venture that that would be the case. You would beat them to say, well, you better make this statement your right statement.
Mm-hmm. And if they and it's we're talking about there is an advantage for a prosecutor to get a conviction of death penalty. First, in the city of St. Louis, it's easy to get a death penalty conviction if you're charging three black guys, as Matt Blunt said in his letter, of brutally raping and killing Robin and Julie Carey. It's easy to get a conviction, and you get bonus points in the prosecuting office if you get these kinds of convictions. So that's easy to do, isn't it, Crystal?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's what they do. So it makes sense that You're not going to get any publicity if this is an accident as a prosecutor. You're not going to get any publicity.
This was an election year for Nels Moss.
Well, it was election. Well, he wasn't.
He was running. Yes.
He was running for circuit attorney.
Yes.
This was the year that he ran for circuit attorney.
Yes, against DeJoy's case.
This is the year that he ran.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
This is the year that he ran. I did not realize that. So this is, and if I can just now, I want to read part of a report from the Center for Public Integrity. And they had this is not a St. Louis business. This is a business that looks at prosecutors all over the country. And this was back in 2003. And what the Center for Public Integrity, they named Nels Moss when they were looking at prosecutors that have done wrong, prosecutors that have broken the law, prosecutors that are lawless, prosecutors that shouldn't be prosecutors. They named Nels Moss. They said, and I quote, over the course of his career as a prosecutor, Moss reneged during the trial on a pretrial stipulation with the defense. He called the jury's attention to the defendant's failure to testify, thereby compromising the Fifth Amendment rights of the accused. These are all of the things that Moss has done during his career. He's alluded to the defendant's uncharged criminal conduct, which is a violation of the rules of ethics. He has attacked the character of a defendant with information not in the court record. He has used inadmissible material from a separate trial of an accomplice. He has promised during the jury selection or the opening argument to present testimony that he's never presented. He attacked the truthfulness of a defense counsel. He has cast aspersions on the integrity of an insanity defense. He's inflamed jurors' passions during the closing arguments. Over the 17 years, 17 cases prosecuted by Moss, appellate judges affirmed the conviction or trial judges allowed to proceed to continue despite finding Moss had committed prosecutorial errors. And that's what happened in this case. When I look at the trial transcript from this case, Nels Moss has said he's going to use make the connection to Manson, and the judge says, well, you're not going to call Manson as a witness, are you? I'll let you talk, say Squeaky Fromm's name. I'll let you say the other people that are connected to Charles Manson, but I won't let you use Charles Manson's name. He has been reversed. He has had cases thrown out. He has had convictions reversed. He is an awful prosecutor, and there are three men that are going to be killed by this state based upon the actions of this man, Crystal.
Two men.
Okay. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Let's get to a couple more calls here before we take a break. Sarah, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, Sarah.
Good morning. I am a friend of Marlon's. My daughter and he were very good friends during high school. I just wanted to tell Marlon I've kept him in my prayers every day. We're hoping this has the outcome that we're expecting it to have, and I want everybody to know that I believe in my heart that this young man is innocent, and they will, if they follow through with this, they will murder an innocent man. Marlon, I love you with all my heart, and hang in there, darling.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Sarah. And I do want to say something else, because oftentimes people judge cases like this. They look at someone like Marlon and they say, well, you know, he's been involved in the criminal justice system all of his life, or he has a record with the criminal justice system. Marlon, that's not your life, is it?
No, that's not my life at all.
You had no contact with the criminal. Well, you saved somebody's life. Well, we have that story to tell.
Well, absolutely. That was never brought out in trial. That was never brought before the jury. But just approximately seven to 8 weeks before I was arrested and charged with murder, I was credited with the St. Louis County Police Department as saving the life of a hit-and-run victim.
Mm.
I was able, through the miracle of God, to remember CPR from when you were in high school. And I was able to give this man CPR and run to get help, thereby saving his life. And I developed a friendship with this young man. And I would go by his house every day and take care of him once he was brought out of the hospital. And the first day that I didn't show up at his house, you know, to take care of him was the day I got arrested on this.
Mm. And what is so, as I'm hearing that story and listening to you tell that story, in my mind I'm also remembering the monstrous things that Nels Moss said about you. You have no criminal record. You've had no violent behavior in prison, and yet he described you as a murdering monster that killed these two innocent young girls. That's illogical. That's non sequitur.
You're absolutely right, Liz. We understand that if you have a dark room and you put light in it, the room is no longer dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's light.
Mm-hmm.
In a case where a person is supposed to be a monster, that same spirit to save an unknown individual and then later on, 7 weeks later, to take two other lives, they don't dwell within the same body.
They cannot. Charles Manson was Charles Manson at home. he was Charles Manson. Anybody walking into a room with Charles Manson knew that someone right with this man.
That's right.
So, and the same is with a good man and a righteous man. We're going to take a break, folks. We have so much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. The phone number that you can call is 573. Call Matt Blunt. Tell him if he's concerned about the killing of innocent lives, he needs to stop this. 573-751-3222. Or you can call from St. Louis. You can call from St. Louis at 340-6900. That's 340-6900. You can fax at 573-751-1495. Call Matt Blunt. Tell Matt Blunt. Fax Matt Blunt. And tell him that he is getting ready to take an innocent life. You can do this. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Xantrax 3. Northbound 55 between Union and Brewery, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge is still stop and go. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit, Broadway is closed due to construction on the ramp. You can use 11th Street to get around that construction area. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 and 255 and the Canal Bridge, look for stop and go to an earlier accident. Police are still working with it on the shoulder. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, look for heavy traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, you have slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway all the way into McKelvey, very heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 from Dorset to 70, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 split from Exchange onto the PSB, it is stop-and-go. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the PSB, it is slow. And in both directions, Camp Jackson and 255 over on the east side, you can expect road construction going on, as well as in both directions, 64 between 158 and Agreement Road, there's construction work, and you will see one lane closed during off-peak hours. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Xantrax 3, the most powerful diet pill in America, Xantrax 3. More weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrax 3, yes, at stores nationwide, or you can log on to Xantrax3.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today with a high near 80. This evening mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday partly sunny with a high around 80. Wednesday evening partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, mostly cloudy still. Another good chance for showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 62, both under clear skies with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Wake up call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever. And we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We are talking to Marlon Gray. He's on death row. He's on death row, and we're talking about the Chain of Rocks case. Marlon, welcome back.
Thank you.
We have a million people here on the line that want to talk to you, but I before I get to them, I just have to get to a number of things because. When I started earlier, I talked about that. This death penalty case is about so many things, and it's not about the good in any of us. And it doesn't reflect well on the system in any respect. We need to talk about the political component of this. We need to talk about the lawmakers and the lawbreakers that are involved in the decision to try to get you to be executed on October 26th. We have an elected official, Rodney Hubbard, who is a state representative. His mother is on the Division of Probation and Parole. Steve Goss, who has run for statewide office, his wife is on the Board of Probation and Parole. These are the people that can make a decision to not go forward with this. Is that right?
Yeah.
They could make a decision. And the phone number, you need to call Rodney Hubbard's mother, because I articulated on my show time and time again that I was concerned about people handing out these types of appointments to their relatives. And I was told that, don't worry, she's going to be on there, she's going to be for us, and she's going to do the things that we need. Well, it's payback time. It's time to prove that is so. The number, and as for Mrs. Hubbard, 573-751-2389. That's 573-751-2389, Division of Probation and Parole. Ask for Mrs. Hubbard, Representative Hubbard's mother. This is a case that we need to call our elected officials out on. Yes, and our appointed officials out on. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to say that maybe not only calls, but maybe just drop by and tell her face to face what you think about the case and what you think about Marlon and about the case and everything. I learned that you can do it better, not over the phone, but face-to-face.
And when we talk about Nels Moss, and what I didn't know was that Nels Moss was running for the first time to be the circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis, and this was the case that was going to get him that job. He was going to hop on this case, and he was going to ride this case into success. that seems to be, when you open up the playbook of how to get elected, you hop on the back of death penalty cases, because we now have Jay Nixon, who wants to be governor of the state of Missouri. And it's my understanding that it's on his website. It is on, let me see that, bring it on in to me. It is on, Jay Nixon has it on his website, that Marlon Gray, the Chain of Rocks case, and he wants to be governor. On the website it says, the Missouri Supreme Court has set October 26th as an execution date for Marlon Gray. And then it goes on to, my goodness, he actually has it on his website. Matt Blunt doesn't have it on his website. The Supreme Court doesn't have it on their website. The guy that wants to be the governor of the state of Missouri has gone out of his way. And also, he has expedited this case. He has moved this case from the bottom to the top. Marlon's case wasn't in this high of a ranking to have such an early execution date. Thanks to the office of Jay Nixon, he now does. Why did they expedite this? Well, I guess you can't get to be governor unless you prove that you are the bloodthirstiest? Is that a word? Is that a word? Let me get to a caller here. Caller two here. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Liz, I'm calling in support of Marlon.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I on the radio?
Yes, ma'am. Go right
ahead. I'm calling in support of Marlon. I've also called Matt Blunt's office. I was a correctional officer at the time when he was incarcerated. He appeared to be a caring and intelligent young man, him and Reginald, and I'm in support of the first officer that called and said that they never was allowed to make contact. And if Jay Nixon get in because of this case, it won't be any good, because these are innocent young men.
And we need to remember this come election time, that Jay Nixon was trying to hop on the back of an innocent black man,
yes,
in order to become the governor of the state of Missouri. We must remember, we must act on that.
Absolutely.
Yes, and Marlon, I'm praying for you. And think of you often. And I believe in your innocence.
Thank you so much, caller. And Marlon, tell the audience, why were you there on the bridge with her that night? What brought you to the bridge that night?
Okay. I was, like most young men.
You were in your 20s, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was purely, it was just, I can't even explain it. I was just hanging out. I came out, I was living in Wentzville at the time, and I decided to come back down into St. Louis just to reconnect with some of my old friends who I hadn't seen in months. I went, and this is very important to the tenor of the case, because Nels Moss described us numerously as a gang. He implied that we had a deep connection with each other. That's why I was able to influence them. But the truth of the matter is, riding alongside me into St. Louis was a young man named Daniel Menfrey, who I'd never hung out with before. It was our first time spending time together. We met each other at different occasions, at different parties or whatever, and we had just decided to hang out on a lark, and he decided to ride down into St. Louis with me. When we got to Reginald Clemens' house, Daniel Winfrey and I both met a man that we'd never seen before, Antonio Richardson. Reggie knew Antonio, but he didn't know Danny. Danny never laid eyes on Antonio or Reginald. So the group of the four of us were meeting, with the exception of me and Reggie, for pretty much the first time.
So how are you a gang if you didn't know each other? I mean, I've never heard of a gang not knowing, particularly if a gang's fixing to do a murder. You know, I've never heard of folks not knowing who the person is that they're supposed to be doing this with.
Absolutely.
And what was the motivation for this? What did they argue was the motivation for this?
They argued that the motivation was robbery, that we wanted to go and rob these people. We wanted to go back on the bridge. After we had left the bridge, we wanted to go back on there and rob these people.
But you knew these women, right?
No, I never met these women before.
You had never met these women before.
Right.
This call originates from a correctional facility.
Let me do a break here. I'm talking to Marlon Gray. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about the Chain of Rocks Killings, we have so much more to talk about, folks. I see you all on the line. If you want to call the governor, and I would beg you to do so, tell Matt Blunt, you against the loss of innocent lives, then you need to stop this execution. 573-751-3222. That's 573-751-3222. St. Louis toll-free, 340-6900, 340-6900. Kansas City toll-free, 889-3186. If you aren't living in the city of St. Louis, if you're not living in the state of Missouri, still contact, because this impacts and affects all of us. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You can ride with the James Gang. Just saddle up with Dennis James online at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline New York. An Arabic interpreter who worked on classified material while employed by the military in Iraq has been arrested by the FBI after it was discovered he had made up his identity and background so well that he was able to pass a high military clearance. He's been charged with making false statements to a federal agency. The man claimed to be a Lebanese citizen who fled to America from Beirut in the late 70s. He was sent to Iraq in late 2003 after being hired by a contracting company working for the Pentagon. He managed to gain access to highly classified information while there. He was granted permanent resident status in 1993 as part of an amnesty plan for aliens who resided in the U.S. for over 10 years. He even became a naturalized citizen in the year 2000. The FBI still doesn't know who he is, but has charged him under the acronym of FNULNU, which stands for First Name Unknown, Last Name Unknown. And Dateline Washington. The military has canceled the start of a progressive talk show on its Armed Forces radio network. Ed Schultz hosts one of the most popular radio programs in the nation and was to begin being carried by AFRN yesterday morning. But just before its launch at 6 a.m., the producer of the show got a call from Pentagon communications aide Allison Barber saying the show would not be carried. Barber is the person who was caught coaching the troops last week before President Bush met with them in a photo op session. Barber said she was unable to finalize the details of the agreement with her superior, who was out of the country. Ironically, last Friday, Schultz played outtakes of Barber sounding strange as she led the troops through a question and answer session with the president. This is your wake-up call global news update. Always wanted to own your own home? Who doesn't? Ever worried about qualifying? Who hasn't? Never thought you'd qualify? Here's the answer to that question. Well, you will. Just call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Good credit, bad credit, no credit at all. Owner financing on beautiful rehabbed houses. Call Lisa Krumpaski at 629-7830 for the answer to your home buying question. 314-629-7830 or mail ldkpc@hotmail.com.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about the Chain of Rocks case. I have from Death Row on the line with us, Marlon Gray. Marlon, welcome back.
Thank you.
And I wish we had the microphone on when we were off the air talking about all of the insanity of this case. And we would be remiss, Marlon, if we didn't talk about, because the decision that is made is based upon what the jury does. We need to talk about the information that was not brought up during your trial for the jury to even consider by your attorney. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't brought up to the jury, right?
Absolutely.
Like what?
The entire police report, which we all of us have now have the information that speaks clearly to my innocence, was not allowed through matters of law to be brought forth to the jury.
The jury
couldn't hear the inconsistencies of Thomas Cummins' statement.
Why couldn't they? I mean, what do you mean that the police report with his statements and it wasn't allowed to be used? Why?
Courtroom law dictates that police reports are inadmissible in a court of law.
Not if you want to contradict a person's statement. If you want to get to their veracity, you're not offering it for the truth of the matter being asserted. You're offering it to disprove or to contradict what a witness has said previously.
Absolutely. I've learned that now, but unfortunately my trial lawyer didn't pursue that.
What else wasn't brought up?
When the whole Charles Manson thing came forth, my lawyer initially objected, but did not continue to object.
I'm reading that in the transcript. Dorothy Hersey, I'm looking at it. One objection, I'll object, Your Honor, to any outside reference. And then he goes on to mention Squeaky Fromm. Then he goes on to mention, and there's no objection. She makes no objection.
Maybe recorded.
What other evidence did she not present?
Well, we spoke earlier about my saving a man's life. And it was something in my mind that I felt went to the heart and character of who I am on the inside. Something that the jury needs to know when they're debating on whether or not I should die or whether or not I should be convicted of something that I had no personal involvement in. I thought that would be a powerful statement. And this man, his name is Louis Eamon. He still lives in Wentzville, to my knowledge. He filed an affidavit later, right after my trial, stating that he was waiting for the day to be called.
And I read the affidavit, and he was willing to come in and testify. And then the most important piece, because Cummins was the witness that really brought a lot of information to a jury. He's a white man who's a relative talking about the death of his two cousins. But his daddy didn't see him as a truthful-telling person.
No, in the police report, when Thomas Cummins finally gets there, Gene Cummins, he says, my son is lying about something because he always lies when he's trying to cover up something. This is a statement
out
of his father's mouth.
And was his daddy brought to court to talk about the veracity of his son?
Absolutely not. For reasons past in my understanding, even to this day.
Well, because it doesn't make any sense.
My lawyer failed to bring him on the stand. He was my use the avenue by which we can attack the credibility of Thomas Cummings.
Absolutely. If your daddy will come into court and say that, oh, my son lies, you know, I ain't proud of it, but my son lies, that's a heck of a piece of evidence.
Absolutely. But he was never called forth as a witness.
Lord, let me get to some of these other callers. Otis, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, Otis.
Yes, I'm calling on behalf of Marlon Gray. How's it going, Marlon? You know, we grew up together, and I just wanted to know that, you know, you're in my prayers, and I've been making that call to, you know, Matt Blunt, you know, to give my support. And it's a shame that, you know, the way the system is today, want to use black men, innocent black men, you know, a man such as Marlon Gray, a man of integrity, a man that wouldn't, you know, do no harm to anyone. You know, because I've known this man practically all my life. But his life was basically, some number of years, you know, he was robbed of his life and his youth and him growing up to be the intelligent man that he still can be. And just would like to know that you are in my prayers and I'm, you know, deeply praying for you.
Thank you, Otis.
God bless.
Yes, you're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz.
Representative Troop, good morning.
Yes, to you and your guests, too, good morning, Liz. Look, Liz, you know, I'd like to just wish Marlon, you know, success in, on this legal charade, but I want to go back and deal with the politics of the Democratic Party.
And we have 2 minutes here,
Okay, I'll try to be brief.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Nixon took his position for a reason, and he took his position for a reason because they had already cut a deal in terms of who was going to run against Talent and who was going to run against Blunt. And they picked Jay Nixon, and they knew that the only way black people would ever consider voting for Jay Nixon is against Blunt. And I think we need to have a whole new conversation on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Automatic Black Caucus is meeting with the governor on Wednesday, and I think everybody needs to call the Automatic Black Caucus so we can make that an issue on Wednesday when we meet with Blunt.
You're going to meet with Matt Blunt. What's the number that people can call for the Automatic Black Caucus?
622-3287.
328. And who should they ask for?
Mike McMillan's office.
Mike McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
And this needs to be an issue because the execution date has been set for October 26th at 12:01 a.m. That's an excellent point, and
okay,
that should be part of the dialogue.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We have so much more to say. I thought we were doing 2 hours, but I think we're going to be doing 3 hours. So let's stay with it, folks. Marlon Gray, Liz Brown, stay with us. We ain't done here.
You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Bad weather is battering the nation from coast to coast to coast. ABC's Jim Hickey has the soggy details.
It is a triple play. In Taunton, Massachusetts, Mayor Robert Nunes issued an edict.
People will not be allowed in the downtown area.
That's because a wooden dam upstream is in danger of being overwhelmed by more than a week of rain. Across the continent, in Southern California, a powerful rainstorm triggered at least 3 mudslides, which shut down Interstate 5.
This is a pretty bad, really bad rainstorm.
And Florida and the Gulf Coast are bracing for Tropical Storm Wilma, the 21st of the season. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Because of possibly defective headlight switches, Toyota is recalling 1.27 million cars in the largest ever single recall of vehicles in Japan. No injuries or accidents have been blamed on the defect, but the recall covers 17 models, including its popular Corolla sedans. Stros fans are stressed after last night's last-minute loss to the Cardinals. With 2 outs in the 9th inning, the Cardinals got a 3-run homer, and the Houston crowd went wild.
That close to closing the whole thing up, to then, you know, taking a loss on it, that's tough to deal with.
God, man, I'm so mad!
The Cardinals forced the series into a 6th game, which is tomorrow night in St. Louis. Houston still holds a 3-2 lead in the series. What would you do if you hit the $340 million Powerball jackpot?
Filling my truck up with gas.
Other people have bigger plans for the really big bucks as they wait in long lines to buy tickets for tomorrow night's historic drawing.
The last time it got this high, they were lined up around the corner, so I'm kind of surprised there isn't a whole lot of people, and I think it's probably going to get real crazy around Wednesday afternoon.
It's the biggest jackpot in Powerball history, so big even runners-up could become millionaires. The bonus pool for those who match five numbers is $13 million. This is ABC News.
I've trekked through the Nicaraguan jungle. I've scaled the biggest active volcano in Central America. I've waded through alligator-infested waters. I've even outrun armed rebels. My name is Adia Depitan, and I've done all this in a wheelchair.
Let's all discover inner strength. Tuesday nights start at 8 with Firehouse USA, followed by Dirty Jobs at 9 and SOS Coast Guard Rescue at 10. An all-new Tuesday starts at 8 on the Discovery Channel.
Welcome back to Inside DC. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
A Lifetime special is honoring a bold breast cancer survivor.
I'm Melissa Etheridge. I'm 44 years old, and I'm a breast cancer survivor.
She's never been shy about sharing her story. This year's Women Rock Breast Cancer Awareness Concert is devoted entirely to Melissa Etheridge.
Because I have no shame about the breast cancer at all, I am fine that they want to hear me talk, that I have a platform, they can give me a whole show just to talk about this. It makes me feel good.
Women Rock, Our Journey with Melissa Etheridge, airs tonight on Lifetime. Dave Halpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
They were smiling on the outside, but Jerry Lewis says he and Dean Martin barely spoke to each other during the last 10 months of their 10-year partnership. That, according to Lewis's new book, Dean and Me, A Love Story. The two shocked show business when they decided to split, and Lewis says not until the death of Martin's son did they get close again. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region is planning a demonstration at the Target Corporation's Missouri District offices at 12:15 this afternoon. The gathering is in response to a pharmacist at a South St. Louis Target store who refused to fill a patient's prescription for emergency contraception. As part of a nationwide Fill My Pills Now campaign, Planned Parenthood is surveying and rating national pharmacy companies on their corporate policy regarding the stocking, ordering, and dispensing of all FDA-approved methods of contraception, including emergency contraception. The St. Louis area housing market is doing well. Frank Notaff, the chief economist for the secondary mortgage market company Freddie Mac, reports that the average single-family home has gone up about 9.25% in value in the last year.
Just the last year, and if you look back over the last 5 years, the average single-family home in the metropolitan area is up 41% in just the last 5 years. And that's really important because that generates home equity wealth for homeowners. And that's important because the largest source of wealth for a typical family is the home equity that they have.
However, Notaft also says the devastation of the Gulf Coast hurricanes will have a ripple effect on the housing market nationwide. Mortgage rates are approximately a quarter percentage point higher than they were before Hurricane Katrina. The Blues will have another practice this morning before hosting the Mighty Ducks tomorrow night in the finale of a five-game homestand. The Blues have lost three of their first four games at Savas Center and are 1-4 overall to start the season. After tomorrow's game with the Ducks, the Note will play four of its next five on the road. Finally this hour, people are flocking to movie theaters to watch The Fog. The remake of the John Carpenter horror film grossed $12.2 million in its debut weekend to claim the top spot on the box office charts. Columbia says The Fog cost only $18 million to make. The previous number one film, Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, fell to number two. It sold $11.7 million worth of tickets. Elizabethtown, starring Orlando Bloom and Kirsten Dunst, placed third with a take of $11 million. Jodie Foster's Flight Plan falls into fourth place with just $6.5 million, and In Her Shoes rounds out the top five. The Cameron Diaz, Toni Collette flick grabbed $6.1 million. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the makers of Maximum Strength Zantac. It's so fast it prevents heartburn before a meal, and so fast it quickly relieves tough heartburn. So don't get impatient, get Maximum Strength Zantac 150. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound 40 at 94. There's an accident. Left lane is closed. Northbound 55 between River de Pere and Lafayette. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River all the way to 270. Slow traffic in the right lane as you approach those exit ramps. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to 170. Look for normal traffic. Westbound 270 between Illinois 203 and Canal Bridge. Look for heavy traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley Road. You've got heavy traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way to Blanchett Bridge. Everything is running smoothly. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Still stop and go. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing. Everything looks good there. Southbound Lindbergh at 44. There's an accident involving a pedestrian. Southbound Big Bend at Clayton Road is closed due to an early morning fire. And northbound Brentwood at Venetian Drive. Look for an accident. The right lane is closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Naples, Fort Myers from St. Louis on one of Southwest's three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today, a high around 80. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high around 80 as well. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 50s. And then on Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm. The high should be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. If
progress is healing the wound that's below that the low man.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU is my long distance number. And don't forget that every day this show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour of this show, you can go get an hour of this show, whiterosesociety.org. We could also, at White Rose Society, you can also iPod the Wake Up Call. So you can have it with you everywhere that you go. For those of you that are clear-eyed about the wrongfulness of the death penalty, for those of you that are clear-eyed about the innocence of Marlon Gray, you really need to take a listen. Today, share, tell people, email people and tell them to listen to this. And then tell them to make a phone call to Matt Blunt at 573-751-3222. That's 573-751-3222 or from St. Louis, 340-6900. That's 340-6900. You can fax the governor at 573-751-1495. That's 573-751-1495. Now keep your pencils out because I have a whole lot of numbers to give you. Also, Rodney Hubbard, state representative. I criticized him a couple years ago for using his authority to appoint his mother to the Division of Probation and Parole. I was told that it's all going to work out for us. It's important to have someone like her there. We'll call her at 573-751-2389. Ask to speak to, leave a message for Ms. Hubbard about how this is a case that that Marlon Gray should not be executed, that the state would be executing an innocent man. Also, because everything is politics, Marlon Gray is on death row because of politics. The Aldermatic Black Caucus, headed by Mike McMillan, they're going to be meeting with Matt Blunt. And Marlon's execution date is set for October 26th at 12:01. They're going to be meeting with Matt Blunt on Wednesday. Call Mike McMillan at 622-3287, 622-3287. Call your alder person, your black alder person. Tell them that you insist that the fate of Marlon Gray be made part of their conversation with Matt Blunt. Call them at 622-3287. It's all politics. And I was just saying off the air to my in-studio guest, Reverend Mark Williams, Marlon's brother, Crystal Stanky, a board member for Alive Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty and campaign member for Marlon Gray, and Edward Doss, the father of Marlon Gray. I was just saying that, you know, it is an obscenity, it is a profanity that Nels Moss attempted to use the conviction of an innocent man and put two African men on death row in order to get elected as circuit attorney. He wasn't successful, but he ran his case with this in his PR pocket. And it's an obscenity that 13, 14 years later, we have another prosecuting attorney, Jay Nixon, the state attorney, attempting to use Marlon Gray's case in exactly the same way to get to the governor's office. We've got to stop this. They cannot continue to ride on the backs of innocent black men, innocent people, in order to further their political ambition. That's obscene. And the only way to stop them is for us to stop them. Jay Nixon, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. And Marlon, I want to welcome you back to the air.
Thank you.
We have a full board of people. Let me get to some of these calls, please. Carfo, you're on the air. Good morning. Good morning, Carfo.
Good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. My name is Mary McCauley, and I want to say hello to Marlon and to the family. To tell Marlon to be encouraged and to remember that although it looks like we're losing, that love and faith is on base and prayer is up to bat. And although it's two outs and two strikes, prayer hits a home run. Remember, God answers prayer, and he's always on time.
And that we all got to make these phone calls.
Yes, ma'am.
We're
making our phone calls. I'm making a fax phone call. And I've got everybody else on the line doing the same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless them all.
All right. God bless you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Al, you're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And my heart goes out to this young man. I have a personal thing to tell you about what happened to my wife. She was killed by a white guy. He got first-degree murder for that. He shot the black man in there, and he died on his way to the hospital. He shot at a lady. She ran into the bedroom. He thought he had killed her, but she played dead. She looked under the bed, saw his feet go into the bathroom where my wife was, and shot her twice. And she died on the spot. At the trial, he had to make him look a little better because he probably was a better man earlier, did some good deeds. He had about 20 black people came in and said that he worked at the church, helped build the church, because he was doing that for this black man. And so,
where was this case tried? In the city of St. Louis?
Yes, it was in the paper.
Who was the prosecutor? Do you remember?
I can't. He's in there right now. I can't remember his name. I got the paperwork all upstairs. But instead of giving, he got second degree murder for killing the black man.
Mm.
He got first degree murder for killing my wife. He got a whole lot of. They found him guilty on everything, stealing, robbing, and all that. But he had people that come in. They didn't save nobody. He didn't save nobody's life, but he had people to come in and say he
this
worked in the church, he built
from a
the church,
facility in Missouri,
and so
be
they came back
monitored.
And he got life without parole. So if this man has some evidence that he saved a life, and they can't even prove that he didn't even do the shooting or whatever, he didn't do the killing, he should get at least life. I think he should get off.
Mm-hmm.
But why kill that man when he didn't do anything and this white man did everything?
And he's not facing the death penalty.
No. Well, he was. He was up for the death penalty and whatever else they could give him. But what they did, they gave him life without parole.
So then he didn't face the death. I mean, if you're found guilty of murder first,
right,
you automatically go to the death penalty phase. The jury makes the decision of whether they're going to execute you or whether you're going to get life without. So the jury, after looking at this man, after looking at your wife, after listening to the prosecutor in that case, made the decision we're going to give him life without.
That's right.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you
and
so much.
And I got kids. I got mm-hmm. a little. I made a speech. My son, my daughter made a speech, and she at the time they were only 13 and 9, and I brought them in there too.
Mm.
So it's not fair. I know it's not fair.
It's about race. It's
right.
It's not about the crime. It's about the person that stands accused of the
right.
crime. Thank you
so
much.
So I hope
much.
You get off, and I'll call too.
All right.
I write a lot of letters. Because
if the date is October 26th.
Right.
Calls would be better.
Okay, then.
Calls would be better.
Right, I'll do that.
All right. Thank you so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. And again, the number for Matt Blunt is 573-751-3222. The fax is 573-751-1495. The St. Louis number is 340-6900. And Mr. Doss, if you could talk to us for a second, there was such a difference between evidence that was introduced at your son's trial and evidence that was introduced at the other trials. Could you talk to us about some of the problems that you had as you watched your son's case being trialed and the evidence that wasn't used on his behalf?
Well, one of the things I noticed when Thomas Cummings was on the stand, he said that he saw a hand that told him to push, to jump. Okay? At Morning's trial, he said it was Reggie's hand. And I'm standing ready to trial. He said, it was Marlon's hand. He told me to jump off the bridge. That was one thing.
And talk to us about your son, how badly he was beaten by the police, because I don't think that, I think that people really need to get a sense of how brutal the police were to Marlon.
He was beaten so bad that my wife and I went to see him, like I said, about 2 days after he was beaten. Okay? At the time before that, they won't let us in to see him. He said it wasn't a visiting day, so we had to wait until a certain day to go visit him. And he talked to me. Eyes was glassed over. And 2 days after that, he called and said, when are y'all coming to see me? He didn't even remember
that you all had been there.
That we had been there. And Reginald Clemens was the worst. He's been so bad that he couldn't even see his mother for like almost a week.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. You're here with Marlon Gray. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Thank you for holding this program over, Ms. Brown, for your last hour. As I always told you, Ms. Brown, the truth will set you free. I'm very upset with this case, Ms. Brown. I want to say God bless Marlon, and I want to say God bless you and God bless your family. I'm very upset, Marlon, with your attorney. Your attorney let you down, Marlon. I hope Ms. Brown talks about your attorney. Marlon, I want you to know Ms. Brown could have did a better job on your case than your attorney. She should be ashamed, or he should be ashamed of even practicing law. I don't even know how your attorney could look you in your face, Marlon. I'm so sick and tired of our black men getting railroaded for something they didn't do. Truly, Marlon, you have no business on death row. You have no business there. All the evidence proves that you didn't do this heinous crime. The evidence was there. And your attorney, whoever that attorney is, should be blackballed out of St. Louis. Whiteballed out of St. Louis. Ms. Brown, you mentioned that attorney because truly that attorney didn't do her job. And one more thing, Marlon. And Ms. Brown, if Jay Nixon thinks he's going to ride on Marlon's back to be the next governor, he got something coming, too. I don't think so. Don't bring Jay Nixon to me, Ms. Brown.
Ms.
Brown, you have a beautiful day. And Marlon, like I said, hold your head up, and your attorney needs to be run out of town. Thank you.
454. And Marlon, how do you feel about Dorothy Hersey?
Well, I'm sorry. You have to excuse me for a moment because while we were at the commercial, while you were taking calls, if I sound emotional, the administration just came to me and they gave me these papers that deal with my execution, you know, what kind of foods am I going to want for my last meal and who do I want to see me die and who should pick up my body, and it kind of hit me kind of hard. So I apologize if I sound kind of out of it right now, but the point I'm trying to make about all this is My attorney, I felt at the time, didn't think that the case was strong. So I think she didn't prepare an accurate defense. I think that's what her error was in misjudging just how far Nels Moss would go. You know, she didn't know that this man would go on, would do everything in his power, would conceal evidence, would lie to the jury, would put false testimony on the stand. She didn't know these things. Nels Moss was running for office. He was hell-bent on it.
But
after we were convicted, he even put up flyers and banners, you know, those election stickers that they tape on telephone poles, which touted the fact that he had convicted the Chain of Rocks boys.
And I would just, Dorothy Hersey was my boss. I worked for Dorothy Hersey. I was a special public defender. She hired me. My first job out of law school, and I know that her reputation within the Special Public Defender's Office was a solid one. She had never lost a death penalty case in all of the years that she had tried them, and nobody tried more death penalty cases than Dorothy Hersey.
Right.
But you had her at the time when she had just left, or been forced out of, the Special Public Defender's Office.
Yes.
And she knew Nels Moss better than anybody else because she had tried dozens of cases against Nels Moss. So it's hard for me to listen to she not knowing what Nels Moss is capable of when her own office filed the appeals and won the appeals that turned over the convictions of cases that Nels Moss had participated in. I accept that she thought it was a weak case because any attorney reading this, criminal defense attorney reading this, sees it as a weak case. But there's no excuse for your the witness being brought in that would have testified to you saving his life. There's no excuse for the father of Thomas.
This call originated from a correctional.
For Gene Clemens, the father of Thomas, I mean Cummings, Gene Cummings, not to have been brought in and to say that my son lies. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for Dorothy Hersey not to talk about the incest component of the case as a motivation for why Cummins would lie. And I understand that the lie detector piece would not have been admissible, but the cops knew about it. And so she knew about it. So she knew that this guy was a liar. Why wouldn't you make a case on Cummins is a liar?
I totally agree with that.
Let me get to some other calls here. Hadora, good morning.
Peace and blessings to you both. I came in late on your show. Did he have a jury of his peers?
Okay, we'll reiterate that.
And Liz,
yes.
One other thing, too. I just want the public to know that, you know, when we're identified as black or whatever, and really no one really give us any real credence because, why, black and all of those other words are just bywords. They doesn't really define a people. But I want the public to know that we are the children of Israel, and there is a penalty that for killing our people and the unjustness that has been applied to our people, and to Governor Blunt or the ones that's in control.
Jay Nixon.
What's his name?
Jay Nixon.
Nixon. I'm sorry. I'm James Nixon. I just want him to know that you have a cause to show mercy. Because the evidence has not been presented to convict this man beyond a reasonable doubt. So therefore, you choose not to show mercy. Well, the Almighty wants you to know no mercy will be shown to you from here on out.
Thanks.
You or any of the Gentiles.
Thanks for your
call.
Have
a blessed one.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And Mr. Doss, what did the jury look like? Marlon, what did the jury look like?
We had a jury of 8 white and 4 blacks. And the thing I want to point out about it is, people say, because my jury was made up of both races, that's not an issue. But it absolutely is an issue. You yourself can attest to this. White people, traditionally, for the most part, have been known to be predisposed to believe the worst of us. But the same thing can be said about black people also. A lot of us choose to believe the worst about ourselves.
Some of us. You know? Too many of us.
And when another black person is brought before us and they're vilified by people in positions of authority, we become angry at them. We feel like they've hurt us as a race. You know, all of these feelings come into play.
But we also have the evidence that was used against you as well is the confession. Even though the argument was made, even though you got on the stand and said that it was beaten out of you, there is a confession.
Absolutely. And the confession came about after many hours of being beat on the top of my head. And be that as it may, I would like to point out that I never confessed to murdering. They gave me an option. Confess to something, or we're going to take you in the back and shoot you.
Mm.
And at that point, I've been denied all my rights. So that I was no longer a U.S. citizen in my mind. Without your rights, you're nothing
in
this country. So I didn't, you know, I've been called, you know, the N-word. I've been broken down emotionally, spiritually, and physically. So, you know, I'm ashamed to say this, but it's what happened. They broke me.
And Marlon, when we come back, I'd like to talk about the specifics of that because I have had people come on my show and say, you know what, you couldn't make me say nothing that I didn't do. They haven't been through what you've been through.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Marlon Gray, live from Death Row. Please call Governor Blunt at 573-751-3222, 340-6900. That's from St. Louis. 889-3186. That's from St. Louis. Also, call Mike McMillan at 622-3287. Tell him when he meets with Matt Blunt that he needs to commute this, he needs to stop this, he needs to stop the execution of Marlon Gray. Black aldermen can do this. Let's see what they're made up of as well. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888. Presented by Audi.
Get wowed by Woo! Listen to Debbie Donzi at WGNU.net for women empowering women, or wild energetic women, or wild wacky women, or for...
Join the Edward Jones Pumpkin Prowl Thursday, October 20th through Saturday, October 22nd at the St. Louis Zoo. It takes place from 5:30 to 8:30 each night. Admission is $5 for non-members, $4 for Zoo Friends members, free for children under 2, and $4 per person for groups of 15 or more. Children are encouraged to wear costumes. For more information, call 314-781-0900 or visit www.stlzoo.org. Spooky news to you from WGN.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Baile para que, baile musebetsin, baile para que, baile musebetsin. Makanisi konango, za kwantalema. Makanisi konango, za kwantalema. Aile parake.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking to Marlon Gray. Marlon Gray is joining us from death row. His execution date has been set for October 26th at 12:01 a.m. An innocent man is on death row. We've talked about the prosecutorial misconduct. We talked about the beating of Marlon. And Marlon, talk to us about this, because, again, we had talked about, people have called me. These grown men have told me there ain't nothing that anybody can do to make me say that I did something that I didn't do. Walk us through what happened to you in the confines of these two wicked, lawless police officers.
Okay. After they had, these two police officers had had me in this room, and they had been...
And their names are, so that people know, their names?
Pappas and Trevor.
Okay, Pappas and Trevor. And Pappas is now a sergeant, right?
Both.
Both of them are now sergeants. They're still out on the street.
Yes, of course. They're still doing their dirty work. They were commended after this case.
Mm.
The method that they used was systematic.
I'm sorry, Marlon. I just have to, something just popped in my head.
Okay.
They received commendations, even though one of the witnesses received $150,000 for civil rights violations because they had beaten him?
Correct. They were able to move up in the ranks, regardless, even though they were the state... Even though the city had to pay out $150,000 of the taxpayers' money to cover up their misdeeds.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Okay, go right ahead. Marlon, go right ahead.
The beating that I sustained and the coercive tactics that they used, the way they manipulated me in that room, you know, I didn't know at the time, but this was standard practice for them. They had a routine. It was down. This was not something that they had, you know, that they were doing on the spur of the moment. This was how these particular officers got things done. You know, this is the system. And like I said, I'm ashamed to this day. You know, the wounds that a person suffers from others, you know, they heal. But the wounds that you get when you're being, when you're weak, those wounds last forever. They never heal. So I've never healed from that. I've seen stabbings and atrocities in here, but my nightmares take me to that room where they broke down my will, where they broke down my resistance. Now, about this confession that I allegedly gave, I did confess on after being forced into it. But what I confessed to was the
something
that I knew I could prove wrong later on through forensics.
What did they do to you, Marlon? Talk to us about what they did to you.
Okay. First they sat me down, and they were like, we know what you did, so you might as well confess to it. And they walked me down the whole story. They told me this whole story of how this incident had occurred and how we had did this attack and who did what to who, when and where. They gave me the specifics. Now, I didn't know that what they were doing was they were grooming me for my statement by telling me these things over and over. They were like, well, we got a witness. And I'm like, well, fine, bring him in. He'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you I didn't do anything. This went on, and when they saw they weren't going to get anywhere with me, I asked for a lawyer, and he was like, this is not TV. And right there was a shock. People don't know. Even though we distrust a lot of things about this country, at our heart, African Americans are every bit as patriotic to some extent as our counterparts. We believe we have the right to a fair trial. We believe we have a right to a phone call. We believe in these fundamental things. We believe this is what sets us apart from the rest of the world, what makes us American. So for these police officers to take this away from me, it was a shock to my system. I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know they could strip me of my citizenship. But they did. Then they went on and brought out the books. They went, well, I watched this man go to a table as I'm handcuffed to a table. I mean, as I'm handcuffed to one table, he walks to a table in the corner, and he grabs a book, and he's testing it for its weight. And I'm thinking to myself, I just know he's not about to hit me. And before I could get that thought in my head, wham, he hits me dead center on the top of my head. Like I said, they were professionals. They knew what to do not to show bruisings on the face and on the body and these things. They knew this. So they concentrated on the very top of my head and on the crown of my head. And they hit me on the top of my head over and over and over again. And, you know, I'm trying to be strong, but tears are coming. You know, and the tears are for the loss of my rights as much as it is for the pain. And they're hitting me, and they're telling me I've done these terrible things, and I'm telling them no. So they stop. They take a break. And I regroup and I recover. They leave the room. 10 minutes later, they come back. Well, are you going to confess? And I say, no, I'm not going to confess. And they begin with the beatings again and again. At one point, they stand me up against the wall, and Tabas is punching me in my chest. They handcuff me to the table again. I'm afraid to fight them because I don't want to give them an excuse to kill me. If they can take away my rights, why can't they shoot me? Why can't they? This is what's going through my mind.
How big of a man are you, Marlon?
I'm a very large man.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never a violent man.
How big are they?
They were equally of my size. Okay. Fish Pappas was a big, imposing figure. And the badges that they wore were huge in my eyes. You know, it's not about a man's size. It's about that authority. You know, this was the St. Louis Police Department. If you see one of them, you're seeing 1,000 of them.
And nobody's in that room but you.
Me and those two police officers.
And are there any windows in this room?
No windows. None whatsoever.
Are you bleeding?
No. They know they were professional, as I said. They knew not to cause bleeding because it would be counterproductive to the goals they were trying to accomplish. So they concentrated on these thick, heavy books at the top of my head. And, you know, if it was only 20 minutes, you know, I'd like to think that I was would have sustained and maintained myself, which I did. I maintained my innocence for an hour. I maintained my innocence for 2 hours. I maintained my innocence despite being beaten in this manner for 3 hours. That fourth hour, they were even tired of beating me on the top of my head. I felt like I was losing consciousness. I know that I lost my vision and everything became blurry because it shoots the trauma of it goes from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet. Mm. It rattles your whole body when they hit you there. Mm. It's like a pain shooting down my whole spine. But for 3 hours or more, I sustained that, and I tried to stand up for myself.
This call originates from a correctional facility in Missouri and may be recorded or monitored.
Liz, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. And even then, I was like trying to be strong. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. They was like, well, look, this nigga needs to be took out in the back and shot. We can do this to you. You don't have any rights. You see this? You see we can beat you. We'll take you out and kill you. So you've got a choice. You're going to confess to something or you're going to die. At that point, I opted to choose rape because I knew through DNA and other evidences that I could prove that easily to be false. But they had a trick for that. The police knew that we hadn't raped anybody. So out of Thomas Cummins, Reginald Clemens, Antonio Richardson, Danny Winfrey, and myself, the only person they chose to do forensics and DNA on was Thomas Cummins. They never so much as plucked a hair out of our heads, of the other men, myself and the other guys. They never took any DNA or forensics off of us whatsoever because they knew it was a falsehood. You know from your time spent trying cases that it is police procedure that when the allegation of rape is made, everyone gets tested. Everyone gets blood taken from them and hair samples and all the DNA they can muster to match not just with the case at hand, but with all other underlying cases. That was how they was able to catch the Southside rapist.
They're even going so far as saying we want to be able to take the DNA sample of everybody that's arrested.
Right.
Whether they've been, you know, arrested, not charged with anything, but arrested.
Arrest.
So it is.
Police So for them, for the St. Louis Police Department to break with 30, 40 years of police procedure in this case speaks more eloquently to my innocence of rape than anything else ever possibly could.
And the fact of the matter is, Marlon, the police knew that Cummins was lying.
Right.
They knew he was lying from the forensics piece of it. They knew he was lying from the lie detector piece of it. They knew that he was lying from the just being on the bridge and looking at the evidence of it. He was lying.
Correct.
And they moved ahead anyway.
And his father said he was.
And his father said he was a liar. There isn't any more evidence of lying that there could be absent a videotape of what happened that night.
Absolutely. And one point I'd like to point out real quickly is this. Our family, myself and my family and other families of Reginald Clemens, our heart goes out to the mother of the Carey sisters. We haven't forgotten that two women lost their lives that night. We're not uncompassionate to that. Our heart goes out to them. We are praying that this woman gets the chance to know the truth about how her daughters died. She's been living 14 years with the misconception that her daughters were raped and murdered. That's a long time to be living under the illusion of falsehood. And it was the prosecutor's duty to get that woman the truth about how her children passed from this form to the next. And he didn't do it. Instead of giving this woman the truth, even though it implicated one of her family members, he chose to try to get elected.
He chose to try to get elected. We're going to take a break. Marlon Gray is talking to us from death row. His execution date is October 26th at 12:01 a.m. Please call Matt Blunt. Tell him to commute this sentence. 573-751-4255. 3222, St. Louis 340-6900, Kansas City 889-3186. Don't let the fact that you don't live in Missouri make a difference in this. We have a woman sitting in the studio right now that came all the way from Germany to say how wrong this is and to participate in getting justice. Justice sought, justice found, justice done in this case. So call the governor at 573-751-3222. Fax him at 573-751-1495. Make it your mission this week to be on this all week. Call Mike McMillan. He's going to be meeting with Matt Blunt, 622-3287. He's the president of the Black Aldermatic Caucus. He needs to tell Matt Blunt that this is one of our issues, 622-3287. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Something within me, that holds in the rain.
Guy Gulman keeps you company after dark. Online at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. A 50-page investigation into warfare and other operations in Iraq is circulating around Washington this week, courtesy of Joseph Wilson. He's the ambassador who had the name of his wife leaked by someone in the Bush administration as being an operative for the CIA. This report was put together by a retired Air Force colonel named Sam Gardner and identifies over 50 stories about the war that were faked and twisted by the government to sell the military operation to the American people. The report starts out by saying that bad intelligence was not the basis for starting the war. Instead, it was a concentrated effort that began way before the invasion and was designed to mislead the public and the world. It was put forth by a new division of the Defense Department called the Office of Strategic Influence that was started by Donald Rumsfeld in early 2002. Britain set up a similar department at about the same time. In a glaring example, when captured private Jessica Lynch was rescued from her captors in 2003, the first call from the rescue team went to that office's top official who was stationed in Iraq and not to top military brass. Other stories Gardner says were manufactured include Iraq's possession of chemical and biological weapons, the surrender of a 5,000-man Iraqi brigade, Iraqi agents meeting with 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta, and Iraq soldiers dressing in coalition forces uniforms to commit atrocities. Even the anthrax scare was manipulated by this office to suggest that Iraq and Al-Qaeda terrorists were behind the mailings of the poison-laced letters. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hi, I'm Marshall Falk of the St. Louis Rams. Hurricane Katrina has devastated Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama, but the real struggle has just begun. Hundreds of thousands have been forced from their homes, and many are without food, clean water, and shelter. But you can help. Don't sit on the sidelines. The victims of Hurricane Katrina need your support. Join the team and donate by visiting redcrossstl.org or by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Ugh, gas is so expensive anymore. I don't want to drive all over town to shop.
I know what you mean.
But you want to get a gift for Jeff and Connie's anniversary? Something really special, you said, and I want to get an estimate on new siding.
Well, Jeff and Connie are going to Regional Exposure 2005.
When's that?
Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. It's at the St. Clair Square. I'll find Jeff and Connie's gift while you visit exhibits representing hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services. Everything you need in one stop. Plus, great entertainment, and you can register to win great prizes all weekend.
Hey, let's carpool with Jeff and Connie. That way we'll really save gas.
Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Anchor Siding and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Give more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brand.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Marlon Gray. He is on death row for a crime he did not commit. Marlon, I was talking to your brother off the air, and we were talking about just the insanity of the witness that was used against you, the witness that got $150,000 settlement of a violation of a civil right, the witness that the police confessed to beating in their custody, the witness whose own father says that he's a pathological liar, can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. Talk to us about some of the insane things that we have to believe in order to believe this witness's statement. Talk to us about what he had to do to swim against the curve, to the current. Talk to us about the physical impossibility of the story that was brought to the jury and used by Nels Moss to try to get elected to become circuit attorney.
Okay. Well, the most glaring thing is, you know, this is a case that can be proved not through what we say, but through common sense. Common sense tells us that if Corporal McDaniels of the Coast Guard can measure the river as flowing at 10 to 12 miles an hour, and Thomas Cummins is in that water for half an hour, then that would take him 6 to 7 miles down the river, because everything flows in the current at the same rate.
And we're talking about the mighty Mississippi
River.
Okay.
So if he's in there for a half hour, you know, we'll give him the least amount of time. Sometimes he said and it was an hour. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was only a half an hour. If you're in that water for a half an hour at 10 miles an hour, it's going to take you 5 miles down the river. This is simple mathematics, things we're taught in school.
Where'd they find him?
They found him just over a half a mile down the river.
Walking distance. How fast did he fall into the river?
They said he was going at a rate of, I'm not sure, I don't have that picture.
80 miles an hour.
80 miles an
80
hour.
80 miles an hour.
Into the river. He fell 80 miles into a river that is, 52 degrees.
Correct.
And his story is that he swam against the current of the Mississippi River, right?
Right.
He lifted his cousin up?
Right. Well, his sister writes that he lifted his cousin up out of the water. Also, that he had a broke hip. Now, he's got a broke hip, lifting cousin out of water, swimming against the current of the Mississippi. The river's moving east, and he's coming west to be up on the Missouri bank.
After falling 80 miles an hour into the Mississippi River, and the Mississippi River is 52 degrees.
And taking off his ski jacket.
And didn't he also, there's also some inconsistency with what he said about what the girls were wearing when they fell off of the bridge.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
His initial statements was that the women were pushed nude into the Mississippi River. But when a body was found 270 miles away, the state said it was the body of one of the girls. But the body they found had some clothing still attached to it, which was inconsistent with Thomas Cummins' claim. Furthermore, they said the motive was robbery. But the body that they found 270 miles away in Caruthersville had a gold watch on the wrist, a watch that quickly disappeared out of police evidence before anybody could identify it.
The body was found after the trial, wasn't it?
No, the body was found a month after we were arrested.
A month after. So they had all of that evidence.
Right.
They had all of that evidence. We have about four more minutes here. Let me give the phone number out again of calling Matt Blunt. 573-751-3222. The fax is 573-751-1495. The St. Louis number is 340-6900. Call Jay Nixon's office as well. Also call Mike McMillan's office, because the Black Caucus is going to be meeting with Matt Blunt, and tell these black aldermen, because he's the chairman of the Black Aldermatic Caucus, tell them that you want Marlon Gray's case on the agenda when you talk to Matt Blunt. Call Mike McMillan at 622-3287. And Marlon, we have about 3 minutes left here. What do you want to leave us with? What do you want us to know that we don't know already? Tell us what you want us to know.
Well, everything's been covered, but I just want to thank the people for calling in and showing their support and ask that they continue to do so. I want to say that, you know, so many of us gathered this weekend in Washington talking about things just like this. But we need the Rainbow Coalition in St. Louis now. We need the NAACP, of which I'm an active member, in St. Louis right now. We need the justice to stop right now, because if they're successful in executing me, someone they know to be innocent, then they're going to turn around and try to kill my co-defendant. Mm-hmm. And then where does it stop? We have so many people out there whose lives are in jeopardy as long as they feel that they can do this. You know, Jay Nixon, he believes that he can do this. He believes he has all the power. Well, I'm here on this radio right now saying that the people have the power. He has misjudged the heart of the African-American community and the community as a whole. You know, blacks and whites, everyone's coming together on this. I think he made a mistake.
This call originated from a correctional facility in Missouri.
And in
I think he made a mistake in judgment, and it's up to us to show him that we will no longer tolerate the loss of innocent black lives.
And we also will not tolerate anybody trying to gain advantage as a result of that. This man, and God has made it so that this man is running for office. He wants to be the next governor, and he wants to be that very shortly. And there have Democrats, black folks, everybody have got to say to elected officials that you will not ride on the back of the death penalty, you will not ride on the back of innocent people on death row in order to get a doggone promotion.
Absolutely. That's right. Amen.
Marlon,
I want to thank you for having us on your air. You're the first true voice. You're one of the first two voices, you and Deneen Busby. You ladies have stood up and come forward to tell the truth about this, whereas the news media so far has reported it inaccurately and refused to even dig any deeper than the headline.
Marlon, stay strong.
I will.
Prayers are with you. Thank you so much for giving us this precious time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank Mr. Doss. I know this is very difficult for you, but I appreciate the time. And Crystal, thank you so much for joining us. And Mark Williams, the brother.
Well, I also want to say that there will be a press conference at St. Peter's today at 1:30. There will be a press conference at St. Peter with some more individuals.
Okay, and the address at St. Peter's?
4730 Margaretta Avenue.
Yes, Crystal.
And I just want to drop a few words to Marlon. Keep your head up, guy. You know we are fighting, and whatever happens, you know we continue fighting. No one will give you ever up, no one of us.
Very good. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Don't forget, you can hear all of this again on whiterosesociety.org. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
I'm Karen Chase. With top sustained winds now nearly 75 miles an hour, it's no longer Tropical Storm Wilma.
Wilma intensified overnight and early this morning and has now become a Category 1 hurricane.
Meteorologist Daniel Brown at the National Hurricane Center says the storm